This is the place where sports opinions collide, Dead End Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge, along with FIFO, and for the third week in a row, Mr. No Disrespect himself, or disrespect.
Exactly,
disrespect,
call
right?
That man,
it ain't disrespect, man.
Mr. Disrespect.
Everything I say means no
all
disrespect.
All the disrespect.
How y'all doing?
Nick. Yep. So, yeah, man, the people be talking, they be like, man, somebody hit me up and they were like, man, y'all need to have me on the show, man. That dude be on there talking crazy.
I was like, I speak all facts. All facts. I base my opinion on all facts.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, good to have you back. B isn't with us. You know, he just made it into town. So so he's handling a little business and just getting settled in. So he'll be back next week. We actually just had our draft for the real NFL. Nick's joining us in that. So I was just on the line with B. That went well.
It went well for me. I don't know about y'all.
Man, your team is terrible,
my
dude.
My team is stacked.
Like, oh, my God.
My team is stacked.
I can't do that fantasy football stuff no more.
You won one year, though. I don't know if
I
you
did.
Remember.
No,
yeah,
I did.
That
I
was some bullshit.
And it was auto-drafted. My whole team was auto-drafted. I just managed it. After, like, the fourth week.
Yeah.
The first 2-3 weeks, I didn't even manage it.
He didn't even do anything.
And then I started managing it.
Oh, okay, then I'm in there then. Y'all letting him just go off an auto-drafted team? Nah.
But I had a squad, though.
I had a squad.
And then I had to make like 2 or 3 moves. But I had a squad.
It was total luck. It was total BS.
I'm not even going to lie. But that was definitely the last year. I was just like, you know what? That year, I think I was like in 4 fantasy. I was just like, yo, this is too much. And football is definitely a lot easier to manage than basketball.
Yeah.
You know, less games is just week to week. Mm-hmm. But I just got burnt out, man. I really did. It's fun, but I'm over fantasy football already. I'm straight.
I can't stop. Won't stop.
Diddy. I feel you.
Diddy all the way.
Yeah, I've been playing since 97, 98. So I think the year I was going to retire, I played with BB. B like you, talking all that mess or whatever. And I was like, oh, man, you ain't ready. I've been playing. I'm a pro. I'm a vet. Played, didn't make the playoffs. I was like, oh, hell no. Nah.
You came back.
You had to
came back and won not only the basketball league, not won the football league and the basketball league that year.
I remember that year.
Yeah.
Because I was playing in the basketball one, too, and now I'm not playing this shit no more, man. I'm not playing this no more.
Yeah, that basketball is crazy. Basketball is easy, but it's just
managing.
You know, there's game.
You have to manage. Yeah, it's like day to day.
You can't just set it and be good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Same thing with baseball. Baseball is nuts too. Like, it's constant management because players get hurt. They put players on the DL for like 10 days, and they be manipulating that. They got call ups, and it's one of my favorite to play. But it's a lot. Like, every single day, you're just looking at the news, trying to keep up with what's going on. But you know, it's fun. It's a game of averages. Like, there's so many ups and downs. You can't, like, get too emotional in what's happening. You just got to play the long game. But yeah, we'll keep you guys, you know, up to date, you know, as usual, on how the season is going. I don't know if B and I are doing the fantasy football show this year, because we got a lot of shows and stuff that we're doing.
Yeah.
And I haven't even talked to them about that, so I don't know if we'll be able to squeeze that in. But yeah, if you're down, man.
I'll come through and talk trash. I'm going to get a dub every week. So.
Okay. Ooh. All right.
It is what it is.
They always say that, man.
Of course.
They always say that.
Hey, it is what it is. I'm telling you, my team is unstoppable.
You know what I say? Forgive fantasy. Come see me on that real court.
Let's get some real buckets.
Oh, man. A lot has happened, you know, since we last spoke. I can think the biggest news, man, that broke over the weekend or yesterday was about Colin Kaepernick. And people are going absolutely nuts. Typical stuff, predictable. They out there cutting up their jerseys, cutting the Nike signs off of their socks and stuff like that, burning stuff. You know, just being real ridiculous, being petty, being childish, being very immature, because this man got signed to Nike. Unbeknownst to them, he's been with them for 2 years. This is the first time they actually put him into, you know.
A campaign.
You know, a campaign in the public face. And I didn't even know he was with them for 2 years.
Yeah, me neither. But, you know, Nike has a lot of players that they've signed. They don't necessarily have signature shoes or apparel deals or stuff like that, but they're signed, meaning that they get free merch and stuff like that. So it could have been one of those situations. However, did you know that during this campaign, and what was it, like, I guess, you know, a couple days, Nike's generated over $43 million in revenue.
I thought they lost like some like $3 billion.
$3 billion.
Somebody told me that.
Nah, that was not fact. That so was don't the, base your opinion.
I was.
On that.
I, that's why I was asking y'all. I was going. Yeah,
their shares were down this morning, but share. That's
stock.
Yeah,
it goes up and down. Yeah. Okay, it is what it
so
is.
So it wasn't nothing. I was thinking like that can't be right. Like,
nah, and I'm not saying that what I saw was factual. I saw it on Twitter from a verified account. One of the sports accounts. I can't tell you which one. Okay. However, but I saw it said that Nike drummed up $43 million.
Wow! Wow. I'll check it out. But, yeah, I know they were down like 3% when they opened. And, you know, that's predictable. You know, the day traders going to, you know, anticipate the backlash. And, you know, they're going to manage and trade accordingly. But it was just, man, like, you know, I haven't listened to, you know, like a lot of sports shows over the last couple of weeks because they really be saying the same shit over and over again.
Every day.
Until the season started. Yeah, nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, I was just waiting. So I was just kind of waiting. But yeah, today I tuned in just to kind of get a feel for, like, you know, the vibe and maybe, you know, if they have heard something. But, yeah, it's just of course, Shannon, extremely woke, talking about this is the equivalent of a white quarterback, you know, standing with Cap. And I see where he's going, but I don't necessarily agree. I think this is Nike just doing what they're doing. Like, they know who we are.
No, this is my, to me, this is kind of monumental as far as a brand like Nike that is like number one. Like, it's only three out of, like, in the whole world, there's like three brands that are universal. It's like Nike, Coca-Cola, and Apple, in my opinion. So for one of those big three to go into the quote unquote political atmosphere and actually choose a side and decide with the black community as far as what Cap is representing, that's monumental to me.
Well, it's definitely big. In terms of Ken being kind of surprised, I'm not, because Nike, think about who they have signed, right? Who's their biggest athlete?
LeBron.
And is LeBron quiet about stuff?
Nah.
And has Nike backed him?
Yeah.
Every single time, right?
Yeah, but so, LeBron's not out here, you know, kneeling. Like, LeBron's very vocal, but he didn't cause a firestorm the way Colin did.
But only
that's basketball.
Exactly. Only because of the league that those players represent, right? We always talk about the NBA is super progressive. The NBA is ahead of the curve. I think the best league in sports in terms of handling political stuff and just everything in between. I think they're the best. They support their players. They want their players to have a voice, and they allow them to use the NBA platform to push that message out there. The NFL is anti that in every facet. But Nike has been steadfast. Nike is a brand that understands the value of their athletes. And I think that them doing something like this just puts them in a light where it's going to garner even more support, right? Like, there's going to be people that are going to protest and say, oh, boycott Nike and this, that, whatever. Mm-hmm. But what do you think it's going to do for everybody else that feels, right, strongly in Colin Kaepernick's side? They're going to support Nike even more. Because already, like Nick said, they're one of the biggest three brands on planet Earth.
It was a good business decision.
Excellent business decision. Because now you can ramp up. And the people that want to go, let them go. You're going to get additional support, man. So I think this was huge on all facets. I just think that it just shows how far the NFL is removed. And I'm telling you, the NFL is going to continue to decline in popularity for the foreseeable future until they get a new commissioner, until they start really trying to be for the players.
Mm. You know what? When the missus showed it to me, I was like, whoa. And I kind of laughed. You know, because I think for me it was like, for a while now we've been hearing that Colin is untouchable. He's toxic. Nobody wants to do business with him. And there's been a lot of false information, and it really ticks me off, is that people are saying, oh, well, what's Colin doing? Colin's not doing anything. And I'm like, wait, there's plenty of documented reports of him donating his own money to charities. Yeah. Like, like this is constant. How are you guys saying that he's not doing anything and that it's a brand play or it's for money or whatever it was?
Isn't it interesting that this kind of coincides with him winning part of that collusion case where now all of the owners have to testify?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then now you stamp it with this. You know what I'm saying? So I find it very interesting. I want to see how Nike truly promotes it, because it's out there now, right? But how are they going to put out commercials? Like, how often are they going to put these commercials out? You know what I'm saying? It's going to be very interesting.
Speaking of that, I think I got to correct myself, because Nike has been kind of entering that political atmosphere with, like, they didn't have, like, an equality campaign with, like, LeBron James, Tiger Woods, Serena Williams. Like, it was something like people coming
they
together.
They don't shy away.
And then they also, I saw, like, some pictures of apparel they were making for people who are, like, of the Muslim faith, as far as the garb they wear, the women who wear the garb on their heads. And they made it, like, a Nike athletic type of wear of that, which I thought was really interesting, because you don't really see, you know, brands be that specific to a demographic. So I think... Yeah, but Nike's a lifestyle brand, so it's always funny to see people like burn stuff or cut stuff up. I'm like, you already bought it, so like you already, and it's really hard to get away from Nike if you do anything athletic,
right?
Especially in basketball, football, especially.
Yeah,
I mean, Nike just the NFL is with a 10-year deal with Nike right now, so they can't really do anything.
And who else? The NBA. So you got the two biggest sports in America. And arguably one of the biggest sports globally, right, outside of soccer, that is Nike support. So that's what I'm saying, man. These people, they can try to boycott and talk all the smack that they want. At the end of the day, where we are as Americans, right, like we're supposed to be the land of the free. You know, we're supposed to embody all of these different type of things. But then we see what's happening in the NFL, right? Like we see what's happening with the brothers on the street against the police, right? This is supposed to be 2018, bro. I didn't know I was growing up in the 60s. And maybe it's not as blatant and as bad, right, like where they got dogs and stuff chasing us. But damn, bro, I'd rather have a dog chase me than you just gun me down in my own car in front of my kids and wife.
This whole country was founded on racism. Like, so you can't, as much as we like to build and try to feel like we're progressive, I think during that Obama 10-year run, we felt real progressive. But it's always in the bottom, deep heart crevices of the country. It's like, this is still here. And there's still people who are in power that obviously you can see in the NFL. There's a lot of owners from the South that, you know, have a lot of control as far as how things move and shake in the NFL. So you're kind of seeing them be put in an interesting situation as far as how they react, especially with this Nike backing with Cap.
Well, I'm happy for the brother, man. You know, I was worried, you know, I mean, I know he got, you know, millions of dollars. He made millions of dollars, but he was giving a lot of that money away. And, you know, not to be one counting another man's check, but I'm like, bro, like, how you going to replenish this? But you can't get back in there.
I think he has a lot of supporters. Like, there's always a lot of people. I think, like, he's getting paid in other ways, like, to sustain his lifestyle.
And then you got to remember, the more money you give away, the more you claim on your taxes. You know what I'm saying? On your taxable income. So, you know, look, man, there's always loopholes. There's always a way to get around it. There's always things that you can do. Like you, I'm not necessarily counting his pockets, but I think he'd be all right.
I'm not worried about him, like, being homeless or anything. Like, especially he seems like he's a smart guy. He probably saved his money anyway.
Depends on who you listen to. They think Colin don't know what he's talking about. I think, you know, just going to wrap up, Nike will be all right, man. Like, if there's any company out there that can survive something like this, it's them. They've been around for years.
And to keep it a buck, if they can survive the child labor that they was going through, they can survive this.
Yeah, because Nike, if you really look at them, they, you know.
They got some stuff on, like, yeah, I ain't gonna try to problem out.
They might want to sponsor us one day. Let me hold tight on that. But yeah, y'all do y'all own research. But yeah, all these companies, man, Nike, Apple. I read some things that I don't like about Apple, and I'm a big Apple guy.
But let's be honest. See, Ken, this is why I keep telling you to watch the show Billions. You keep blowing me off, I'm telling you.
Oh, that show is brilliant.
Thank you, Nick. It's amazing because it shows you how big, super, forget big business, not, you know, $30, $40 million big business. We talking billions of business, right, in terms of how big they are. The way they maneuver, they going to get what they want, how they want it, when they want it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do it to the T, or else you're not going to do business. I'm telling you. So Nike's fine on all facets.
Yeah. So you guys were rehashing I don't even know if it was an argument from last week, but basically it was centered around Khalil Mack now becoming a Bear.
Hold on. Before we go on.
Yeah.
John Gruden is getting off to a very bad start in Oakland. I just want to put that out there.
He's going to be horrendous. The Raiders will be horrible this season.
Well, I knew he was going to be bad before.
But it's now like a guaranteed. I feel like it's guaranteed now.
Yeah.
Especially in that division, I think it's guaranteed.
Because that division's on the up and up, and you got rid of the best defensive player in that division. You got rid of your defensive quarterback. Like, come on. How do you – look, and I was watching Shannon the other day, and, you know, I'm talking like I know this man on first name basis. I was listening to Shannon Sharp the other day talk, and how is John Gruden saying that, you know, $90 million is too much, and it's not all guaranteed. But John Gruden got $100 million guaranteed. You know what I'm saying? And also, on Undisputed, they were talking about how this may give John Gruden some time now, right? Because you got two first-round picks. It's going to take at least 2 to 3 years for them first-round picks to pan out, right, to see if you even have a guy that can even hold Khalil Mack's jockstrap. So that kind of buys him time to say, oh, well, yeah, you know, we're not good. We don't have Khalil Mack.
Like, they're gonna try to draft another Khalil Mack. Because this upcoming draft is a defensive draft. If you look at Mel Kiper's board, it's heavily defensive.
No quarterbacks.
So no quarterbacks in the top five. So he kind of, to be honest, as much as I want to say it was a horrible decision, it could end up somewhat decent if he gets value for those. Because he could have, three first-round picks? Mm-hmm. So depending on who hits as far as those players, he might be able to get some value back. However, I think the trade was unnecessary.
Exactly. And the reason why I say the trade is unnecessary is because you make a trade like that when you're defensive heavy and you don't have a quarterback that can hold anything, right? I look at the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. The Denver Broncos have a top five defense for the last 5 years. And unless they have Peyton Manning, they ain't doing nothing with it. But right now, Oakland has David Carr. Right? I always get him wrong. Is it David or is it
Derek?
I always call him David. Yeah. Derek Carr. And Derek Carr, to me, just based off of arm talent, I'm not saying the head, I'm not saying the feet, the overall, but arm talent alone, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah,
he was.
No, I think.
Well, if you're talking about arm talent. The year, you're trying to be slick, though.
The year that they was popping. That year that they was popping and they went to the playoffs, I think that's the real Derek Carr, not the one we saw last season.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I agree. No, because I agree with you.
Because to me, there was some – he has that it factor.
He does. And I'm not saying that he can be the greatest ever or he will be the greatest ever, but he has enough natural ability that he can be. He has the potential to be. And I'm not pigeonholing him to say, oh, this guy's going to be the greatest.
I just think he's a franchise quarterback.
He is.
His press conference after the whole Khalil Mack situation, the way he talked about him, the way he said, you know what, he's still my brother, but – he's not a part of the Raiders anymore. We got to move on to win games. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's a leader.
Yeah, he's definitely a franchise quarterback. And when you have a franchise quarterback and you have a guy like Khalil Mack, you keep that together. Because, right, like, in the NFL, you can't really think about windows like the NBA. You know, 5, 6, hell no. Nah.
Nope.
Because injuries are always going to happen. And you don't know how catastrophic that injury is going to be.
But were the Raiders really going to win right now?
But I think that when you have both foundational pieces on the offense and defense, your window is now.
Who are their receivers?
They just got Cooper, to be honest. They let go of Crabtree.
And Cooper's on a downward trend.
I don't know. That's why I think last year was real, like, I don't think that was what the Raiders are really are.
Yeah, they don't have a true running game. Love Marshawn Lynch.
And that's where I was going to go. You're talking about these picks they have. They need to upgrade at the running back spot. Marshawn, you know, yeah, he's just there for, you know, just to play in Oakland.
Yeah, I think Marshawn still adds value. I think he's definitely a short yardage back, goal line.
He's just a goal line back.
You know, but at the end of the day, Ken, I'm not saying that you go for the gusto this year because obviously you don't have enough. But this upcoming offseason, you start to get free agents, even though you paid Khalil Mack and you paid Derek Carr. You know what I'm saying? You got to go get other players. You got to draft other players because your window is now. You got two guys, arguably one of them top 10 at his position. You know, that's very arguable. I'm not just putting them there, but it's arguable. Mm-hmm. And you got a guy that's top three in the whole NFL on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's win now.
Well, I think, but you got to look at who John Gruden really is, though. He's an offensive-minded guy. So, of course, he's going to let pay the quarterback and let the defensive player go, because he doesn't want to pay a quarterback $25 million and then also pay a defensive player $25
but
million.
But he won with a defense.
He won with somebody else's defense.
Okay, but at the end of the day, he won, and he wouldn't be John Gruden without that defense.
But I'm just saying that team was already in place, so it's not like he didn't have – like right now you could kind of see he has his control over the whole organization.
No, of course. But all I'm saying is that you should have learned a lesson there. Right? Mm-hmm. That you didn't win in Tampa Bay because of that offense, regardless of how great you were.
Yeah.
You won because of that Tampa too.
But at the same time, since he won, he's arrogant now. Like his ego. Like
he was arrogant. He got.
But I'm saying that validated his ego because he won.
At the time, and then he started losing, and then he got out the league. He was fired and let go. So, and then I think he went to TV. And, you know, because he couldn't get a job. So
yeah, he reinvented himself on ESPN. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Became a quarterback guru. We won't see how it is.
Oh, yeah. But I think this could be John Gruden just rebuilding and building the team in his image. He has a 10-year.
How long is that 10-year really, like, 10 years?
Well, all the money is guaranteed.
No, I'm just so – yeah, the money's guaranteed. Yeah. But I'm talking about as far as him being the head coach.
If I'm the Raiders –
how long do they get – what slack do they get?
If I'm the Raiders, it's 10 years because I'm paying you for 10 years.
Nah. Because here's the thing. Okay. Culture and locker rooms can sour. And if that happens, if you're the owner or GM, you got to make that move. And you got to move on from John Gruden. So, to me, I think every head coach, regardless of sport, needs at least 3 to 5 to truly implement culture and make the changes and build the team in their own image. Because in this first year, you know, is it really fair to judge any coach in their first year?
I don't think so.
I would say the exception to him is the fact that you gave up, like you said, a top 3 defensive player. And on top of that, so far – you're not really building a great culture if you're willing to let your best player just get traded away.
But he did, but there's a clear plan in place.
Is there?
Yes. Think about it. He got two first-round picks. You just kind of gave him a little bit of props, right? Like we have to see the first-round picks pan out or bust before we can say that John Gruden was good or not.
No, I'm just saying I'm just speaking for Raiders fans as far as looking at the glass half full. Like, look, try to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, we got 3 first-round picks. It's a defensive-heavy draft. We may be able to get, if not 1, 2 of them to pop. And then on top of that, you still have a good quarterback. You still have a decent offensive line. Like you can supplement those picks to fill holes of other needs. But at the same time, there was one spot you didn't have to worry about for the next, 5 to 10 years.
True.
And now that's gone. And he was the only thing. Your defense, I mean, granted, he didn't help the defense be like a top 15 or top 10.
But one person can't do that.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, even though he's that impactful, you still need the draft players around him so the defense can show what it really is. So it's just that, I don't know. It's really hard to see how he can. I give him 4 years. Like, if after 4 years, that's the team that John Gruden really created, good or bad.
Yeah, I think that we all know that they didn't have the money to pay him. So
they say that a lot. I hate when they say that.
It's a choice. I
understand.
Do you want to or do you not want to?
So do you put yourself in a financial situation to where you can't improve the rest of the team? Now they put themselves in a situation where they can try to get 3 players that are the equivalent of 1.
But you know what, though, Ken? You can't – it doesn't matter what 3 guys they get. You're never going to get equal value as Khalil Mack. I was listening to something where
– even if it's spread across 3 different players in 3 different positions.
Unless all 3 of them
defensive
pop.
Line.
No. And the reason why I say no is because over the last 3 years – I can't remember where I got this from – over the last 2 or 3 years, in terms of sacks, tackles for loss, hurries, carry, you know, all of that type of stuff, everything that shows how dominant of a defender you are, there's only the number 1 player in all of those stats was Khalil Mack. The number 2 was Von Miller. And we see the type of impact Von Miller has had. Super Bowl MVP. And Khalil Mack is better than that. I don't care. You can't draft. You talking about you got to draft Lawrence Taylor to beat that, bro. right? Then we just not talk about all of the best all-time players at their positions and stuff like that, right? And we talked Reggie White. We talked Lawrence Taylor. I said Deion. Those are my top three. You got to draft one of them guys, bro, to be to get better value than Khalil Mack.
I hear you. I understand. But I think that, you know, I think that it does give them more room to play with financially. And I think it also helps them fill three defensive positions now more than they were able to do in the past.
But my thing is, what happened to homegrown? Like, you pay for your own. Like, they drafted him number four overall. So he was a top five pick. Mm-hmm. They drafted him number four. He's been a saint off the field. Obviously, he's been a monster on the field. Didn't give you any trouble. Was a great locker room. He had a C on his chest, did he not? Great locker room presence. And he can't get paid? Aaron Donald got, like, I heard the contract talks was before, like, back in February when they started. He gave, like, they gave him a number. He gave them a number back. They, at the time, they thought that number was just crazy. Like, we can't pay you that much. And then Aaron Donald got paid, which was way more than what he was asking for.
But they're in a position to win now. Like, the Rams are in a position to win now, way more.
But you still didn't have to pay Aaron Donald, though.
Exactly. And it just goes back to what I was saying with Oakland, right? They're in a win-now situation. So, with all of those free agents.
But they don't have the roster that's a win-now roster.
But when did all of those free agents get signed, Ken?
Which ones? For the Rams?
Yes, for the Rams.
They signed, what, two or three this year?
Exactly. And they were big names.
Peters, Sue, and who else was it?
Aqib Talib.
And then they added Cooks, too.
Exactly. And they got Brandon Cooks. So they just added four impact players. All pro. Immediate. As soon as they step on the field and suit up, they're going to have
an
impact.
But the Raiders didn't do that.
But at the end of the day, you pay Khalil now, you get those guys next offseason. That's why I'm saying you're in win now. Maybe not this year, but this year sets a foundation for the future.
But not if you're in a financial situation that don't allow you to do that.
Hold on.
That's what the reports are saying.
Forget the reports. Who they paying? What outside of Derek Carr? Who they paying?
I don't know why they broke.
So they not broke, Ken. This is just them.
They gotta
face.
Be broke, bro.
They not broke, man.
How often do you hear about
employer wants to pay their employees more than what they're willing to give up? So they, every team has a number for every player. They have a number. Once you go over that number, and unless you have the stats to back it up, or unless you are a quarterback, we're not trying to pay you that. We're going to That's what the same thing the Giants tried. The Giants tried to ship out Odell before he got paid because they were trying to get feelers. Nobody was giving them the offers they wanted or expected, so that's why they paid Odell. You mean to tell me the Los Angeles at the time wouldn't think about signing Odell if the number was right? Or if they felt like they needed him?
Oh, yeah.
He was in L.A. Like, to me, it's just like there was a saying in football that everybody has a number. No matter how good a player is, you're still willing to listen to trade offers and all that. Obviously, with Khalil Mack just getting traded to the Bears. So, to me, when a team says they're in a financial – you just said on the last episode that these teams get, what, 230 just off of residuals?
Off of profit sharing, each team collected a $231 million check.
And you mean to tell me that you can't pay a Khalil Mack a little piece of that over time? And then they can move the numbers around as far as contracts. At the end of the day, players are all they care about is guaranteed money up front. What are you giving me up front?
Exactly. And remember what I told you. Remember how, like, UNB were kind of concerned about Julio getting done? And I said, bro, that's easy. He's sitting out right now, but all you got to do is move the money. There's a certain amount of guaranteed money. You can move it and spread it out. You can move it up front, and then you don't have much per year. Look at what Aaron Rodgers signed, right? Like, he signed 100 and some million guaranteed. 80 of that he's going to get paid by next March. 80. So the $20 million is going to be spread over 3 years. What's that? That's nothing of a cap hit. You take the cap hit right now, you could have did the same thing with Khalil. You could have signed him for $90 million guaranteed, or out of the 90, let's say $75 million guaranteed, you pay him $40 million, $50 million by next March, and then you spread the rest of
do a short contract. Do like a 3-year contract of what, 85 fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
That way you set the trend.
Yes,
that way you can say, like, okay, we're in a financial bind. We're not going to pay you as much as Aaron Donald, but you're not going to be that off.
Exactly.
And it's fully guaranteed. And it's all guaranteed. Exactly. So no matter what happens to you, that's how you show somebody that you're an Oakland Raider, because that's what he said to him, like, oh, you were a great Raider. You just got here. How you going to tell me I'm that? Like, that, to me, I that's where I got to side with the players. Like, you got to get your money.
No, I'm with
team has broken the NFL. Nope. Even the worst team in the league. They got money.
I've heard multiple entities report on their financial issues.
Okay,
the only one whose books is open is Green Bay because they public.
Yeah, they public. So here's my thing. If you can't afford to manage.
I think it must be their move. They're trying to move to Vegas. That's what it is.
Vegas is going to bring more money in.
Exactly.
But they ain't got it now, though.
Look, Ken. Why you sipping the juice, bro? You literally sipping the juice.
I'm just going by
he's corporate. He got the shirt and tie on. He's corporate right now.
Golly, don't sip that juice, man.
They got some debt problems, man.
So let's tackle this from the opposite, right? Like the other team, the team that obviously won in the trade. To me, Khalil Mack, because I don't care how many defenders are coming out in the next two drafts, you're not drafting Khalil.
In his prime.
In his prime.
What is he, 27?
20, something like that.
In his prime, you got him for just two. Who gives
early 20s?
Picks are just all 50-50. You don't know if they're going to pop or they're going to, you know, they could just be a bust. So you got a guaranteed right now guy who could be the captain on your defense, linebacker,
replacing Urlacher,
no matter what.
Huh?
Is he replacing Urlacher?
I want to see the season, but I would say yes, yeah, just going off the strength of him.
Man, Urlacher was a monster.
Yeah, but different types, because Urlacher obviously wasn't a pass rusher. He was more of
like Ray Lewis a little bit, if you ask me. Very cerebral, captain of the D.
I think he was better than Ray Lewis in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
He was way more versatile.
Like a Kuechly?
Better.
Yeah,
better.
He was better than Luke.
Yeah, better than Kuechly. But to me, Urlacher has zero flaws. He obviously big as hell,
yeah,
right? Stuff to run, very cerebral. He was one of those guys that he'll change the play quarter. He playing Peyton Manning, chess play. Hey, bro, this is what they do. Like they will have those type of chess matches on the field. And not only – see, like to me, Ray Lewis was short.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times in coverage, you could throw to a big tight end over him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with Urlacher. And the amount of – remember this. A lot of people don't remember this. Urlacher was a safety in college. So to play safety, you got to have range.
Yeah, yeah.
He had range. And then think about when Lovie got there, right? They played that Tampa 2. And the Tampa 2, the most important player is that middle linebacker. Because that middle linebacker is required to play that middle third and pass. In passing situations, he has to cover that middle third. So you got to be able to come up and stuff the run or be drop. Smart enough, right, play action, be able to and then drop back in the cover. I don't think in my lifetime I've seen a better overall linebacker. And that's when, you know, we were asking if Ray Lewis is the greatest. I don't know.
It's an argument.
It is an argument. To me, I felt Urlacher was more versatile than Ray Lewis.
Yeah. So I guess we got to see if Khalil Mack can do that.
But he's different, though. So it's like comparing LeBron and Kobe. You know what I'm saying? They're just two great, amazing, you know what I'm saying? But it's two different type of beasts.
So y'all got Trubisky, your quarterback of the future.
He's not.
Give him another year.
They're drafting a quarterback this draft.
No, there isn't one.
That's what I'm saying.
But they're going to take one. I bet you, at least third or fourth.
Somebody always
You always pick one in, like, after the fourth round.
Somebody from freaking Marshall is going to pop up as a franchise quarterback. It happens every year.
Exactly. Like, think about Dak. Who knew Dak was going to be Dak? Nobody.
Well, I did.
Get out of here, Ken.
You was watching Mississippi State like that?
I was actually watching Mississippi State.
He's a big Mississippi State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was actually watching Mississippi State. I was like, oh, this boy is the truth. This boy can play. They went toe-to-toe with Alabama a couple of times and almost won.
But you really thought.
I'm biased.
I understand.
Yeah, but you didn't look at him like, oh, this is a franchise quarterback.
Exactly.
Franchise quarterback, no, but I knew he could definitely play in the league, and okay. I was hoping he would get a chance to play. I still don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I think he is.
I think he's got the neck up. He has it down pat.
Nah, I think – I don't even want to – I'm not going to put this out on my brother Dak, but I think Dak will be exposed even more this year.
I agree, but that doesn't mean he's – That's more about the organization, how they didn't surround him with any talent.
Doesn't this go back to
Brady? Don't have talent, y'all. That's what
You're comparing the New England Patriots to the Dallas Cowboys as far as organization success.
Also, didn't we say this in the last podcast where you have quarterbacks that elevate everybody and quarterbacks that need other people to elevate them? Dak is one of those quarterbacks that need other people to elevate himself.
He's a competent quarterback. He will not mess up the train. He'll keep it on his course, but don't ask him to speed it up.
Exactly. Mm. He's a better Alex Smith.
Trent Dilfer.
No. he's a better Alex Smith.
He can move. He's a black Alex Smith. I'll give him that.
No, I like that, man. I hate that Jerry, you know, came out and said the things that he said, because, like, Dak and Zeke, two college players that I love watching play, and then they get with the Cowboys, and he come out and talk crazy, get rid of Dez, and now you got
– but they didn't – I mean, now. Dez wasn't doing anything.
Exactly. Bro. Come on,
Oh, they're going to do more with what they got?
No, I can run. Dez was a cancer.
I can run more routes
Dez
than
Dez. Dez is not a cancer.
Ken, look, I'm not saying that he's a locker room cancer, but you are a cancer, especially in football, when you can no longer do what you're paid to do.
His mouth is better than his routes.
Exactly.
That's all I got to say.
When you know, especially at wide receiver, because we saw it with T.O., right?
T.O. still put up
actually,
numbers.
Actually, T.O., he was with the Bengals. He was still throwing them. He was doing numbers.
But he still had brick hands.
He did. He did drop some bad drops.
But hold on, digressing back to the Bears, because Nick said something earlier. So do you think, because you also called out the NFC North being one of those divisions to watch.
Yes.
Prior to the trade. Yes. After the trade, it makes it definitely more interesting. But do you think the Bears are a playoff team?
No. I think they got two games better from last season with this trade. I think they're moving in the right direction, and I think they're showing their fans that they're trying to win. They're trying to do anything. They don't care about – because, you know, draft picks are like, you know, gold to every team. Like, they're the top of the line. If you can get second, first-round picks for a player, then most likely they're going to trade them. So, I think they're just proving to everybody, especially in their division, that we're not playing around. Like, we're trying to compete.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we're not trying to have high expectations of trying to, you know, be a Super Bowl contender or even just a playoff contender, but we're trying to compete in games.
Yeah, and going – piggybacking off of what you're saying, right, like, when you look at the quarterbacks of that division, the Mount Olympus is Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly.
Right.
But you got slingers like Stafford and
you do. But
Stafford's
but,
a why you be slow?
No, here's the thing. Stafford is nice. Love the arm. Cannon for an arm, right? However, neck up he's mediocre, right? You look at Kirk Cousins. Puts up big numbers, but he's a Tony Romo type of guy to me. Puts up big numbers. Can he win in the big game? Can he make the play to win the game? I don't know. Question's still out. Tremendous talent around him. This is the year for him to prove himself in
him
that
and
way.
Stafford.
Stafford's different.
Stafford's proven. Yeah. Yeah. You know where he is.
Exactly. Stafford is what he is. He's not going to get any better. He's not going to get any worse. No time
soon.
You
don't think he can get better?
No.
I think he can get better.
It's the purgatory. It's the Detroit Lions. You know, they have a history of wasting talent. And Stafford, Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, they've had talent. They just wasted.
But the Mount Olympus, right, in terms of quarterbacks in that division, is one number 12, Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, do we even need to speak on that?
Like, but all I'm saying is now you have an answer for that.
Khalil Mack.
Because now when Aaron tries to go run and make plays, you got a guy that could go chase him smart enough to know, okay, we playing man-to-man. Now I need to go here. I'm dropping in his – like, Khalil Mack is going to be able to match head up what Aaron Rodgers does on that field from the other side of the ball. And you need that. Yeah. When you play against these top-level quarterbacks, you need a top-level defender or two to be able to neutral. And here's the thing. Can Khalil Mack outdo Aaron Rodgers? No.
I was going to say he's great, but even then.
But at the end of the day, right, like even with the Ravens, with Ray Lewis, you needed Ray. They would not be the defense that they were without Ray Lewis. Mm-hmm. And for the Bears to move forward in the future, because Aaron Rodgers ain't going nowhere. He wanted the quarterback going to play till 40. He's still going to be crazy dominant. You need a guy like Khalil Mack on that other side to wreak havoc on that offense. And to your point, it's showing that Bears fan base that, hey, we are swinging for the fences. You know, the only problem, again, to me, is Trubisky. When I named all of the quarterbacks, he is way low on that total.
That's in every division, though, when you're talking about, like we can go to any division. Like, we did the same thing with the NFC North, and I said the NFC South. We could do the same thing with that division, literally. Like, you have Breeze, Ryan, Newton, and then you got Winston.
But
oh, whoa, don't disrespect exactly. Jameis Winston.
No, exactly. I'm just saying there's a lackluster quarterback at every division.
No, of course. Hold on. I got you, Ken. Winston is the lowest player in that division.
Yeah.
Granted, right? But he ain't Trubisky.
No, I'm not saying he's Trubisky, though. I'm just saying, like, he.
You have to rank him, and there's only four. So somebody's going to be
yes,
four.
Yes, 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 yes.
1,000%.
But that's so, not like Winston is trash.
Exactly. No. You know what he's doing? He's just basing his opinion on facts. So, I understand.
I'm just going off of. So, I didn't say he was bad as Winston.
No, it's the way you said it, though.
Exactly. No, I'm just saying, like, we could do that for every. Like, you can't have four quarterbacks.
The tone was very disrespectful.
And look, no, you're always going to rank them 1 through 4, but the value of 1 through 4 is different per division. The NFC South has one of the best 1 through 4 quarterbacks in the whole NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I got to think.
Think about it. The NFC West.
I got the iPad. I can
NFC East.
Better than the NFC East?
Who? Dak? Who else?
Eli, Alex Smith, and Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
I would say that
even you could put. Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles.
No.
I would say
That's a good quarterback.
I would take Winston over everybody except for Carson Wentz.
Are you serious?
Yep. Absolutely.
100%. Alex Smith is mediocre.
Okay. I'm not saying he's as bad as. I would never say anyone is as bad as Mitch. But even then, I would say give Mitch another year before you say he's a bust. What has Winston done for you to say he's better than a 2-time Super Bowl MVP in Eli Manning, an offensive rookie of the year in Dak Prescott, and a guy who's been to at least one NFC championship game in Alex Smith?
Did you not see that boy play last year?
Who, Winston?
Wentz. Oh, did I hear you wrong?
No, I'm talking about Jameis Winston.
Oh, I thought you was talking about Carson.
No. I don't need to talk about Carson. Yeah, he was almost the MVP.
No. Okay, yeah, that's why Carson Wentz confused.
No.
Carson Wentz is on a whole other plateau.
That's why I'm asking. So why are y'all like?
So Eli Manning, right? Like, you're going based off of history. History, yes, arguably one of the greatest I've ever played.
I mean, that's all we got when we talk about.
No, we have recent history, and in recent history, I take Jameis over Eli.
Oh, so you saying last
in the last 3 years, I take Jameis over Eli.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, you tripping.
Why not?
I'm not doing that.
He can sling the rock better than him.
Yep.
He's more
turnover prone than him.
Yep.
He's more clutch than him.
I'm more clutch.
Today.
Yes, he has been.
Today.
He's
today.
A better leader than him.
We're not talking 5, 6, 8 years ago when he won the
Super
Bowl.
But that's Eli, though. Like, you can't just take, I don't know.
No. But hold on. What are you judging on? Because if we're looking at our eyes and seeing what players are doing right now, we have to judge them on today.
All right. So if you had a game to win and you picking between Jameis Winston and Eli, you said you would pick Eli Jameis
no.
over Eli.
No.
Dak
wait.
Alex Smith.
Wait. Hold on. Kid.
Game to win. No, you picking him?
No. Game to win today. I'm taking Eli because of the experience.
I'm not.
If I'm but hold on. Start of the season, my quarterback for the future. Like from here on out, I'm taking Jameis.
I mean, because he's younger. Yeah, but I'm just saying like.
But not even because he's younger. Because Jameis potentially right can do what Eli has done.
I don't know. I'm not really riding the Jameis train right now.
I'm not saying Jameis is the greatest. I'm just saying
I don't see.
I take Jameis today over Eli.
That's why I brought it up in the last episode. Like, is that the worst 1-2 draft? Like, he was the number one overall pick. As much as we criticize Cam Newton, I feel like the only reason why nobody talks about Jameis is because Cam is in that division and he's just an easier target because he went.
Oh, Winston get attacked all the time.
Yeah, he does.
He's a black quarterback.
It's just not as attention grabbing as Cam Newton because guess what? Jameis hasn't been an MVP.
That's what I was about to say. That's what I was saying.
I somewhat disagree with you. Only because of Jameis's history in at Florida State. The rape allegations,
from college, Cam Newton has been more polarizing than Jameis Winston.
Yes.
It's almost like
polarizing, yes. But I still think in terms of being criticized, I think Jameis is up there.
In terms of criticism, they both had their fair share of criticism.
They get criticized, but nobody cares about Jameis like that.
Exactly. Not to Cam Newton's degree. Cam Newton has always just been a bigger figure than Jameis has.
Jameis Winston is the new Cam Newton. Cam Newton came in the league.
That's disrespecting Cam Newton.
No, it's not. Because in terms of being criticized, Cam Newton has been criticized since they started accusing him of whatever they were accusing him of in Auburn, his dad. And ever since he came in the league, it's been one thing after the other, warranted or not, with Cam Newton. Jameis Winston, same thing. He contributed a lot to it. But the fact remains is that he's still always in the news for something negative. Sometimes earned, sometimes not. Like the time he bit his fingers or whatever, he made that W, did that whole thing. Like people were criticizing him for something like that. Now
he was he was making a jackass statement. Like nobody, like that was the dumbest. Like that's your leader. That's your quarterback. See, that's your franchise.
And there we go, man. I'm like just everybody. Now I can't say definitively everybody, but a lot of people have spoken about Jameis Winston's leadership ability.
Asking a question. What has he shown you that shows that he's a leader? That he's the future? He's going to lead you to the promised land in his NFL career. Not holistically. I'm talking about his NFL career.
Him stepping up and saying, calling out his teammates for quitting in his first year when Lovey was there. You know, I've heard players that play on his team speak glowingly of him as a leader and how he commands that.
Okay, so if he's a leader, his actions do not show that because he does a lot of dumb stuff that prevent.
In a manner that you and a lot of people deem appropriate as a quarterback.
No, hold on. There's a difference between leadership and maturity. Jameis,
explain the difference.
Jameis is not mature. He makes a lot of immature mistakes, like minor mistakes that are blown out of proportion oftentimes, right? But in terms of a leader of men, being able to motivate, being able to call you out on your stuff, and also being able to produce and lead by example in terms of football, in terms of being a young quarterback and being able to pick up the playbook from day one, right? Because he was a day one starter.
Yeah.
Being able to galvanize a group of grown-ass men. He's able to do that, but he still has immaturities that hold him back.
How old is he? Is he like 26?
Yeah, he's somewhere around there.
So, and why is he not starting the season out?
Off the field.
Accusations.
Okay, how many off the field stuff? That. It's just like when you talk about leading a leader, lead as a
quarterback, that's
lead
that's
by
tough.
Example. It's like he on can't call field. Out nobody on the team. No, I feel out of everybody.
Yes, he can. He,
on the field, he can. When it comes to football stuff, yes, he can. When you're talking about setting an example and being, what's the award that they always get? You know, like the community service guy or the all.
The Walter Payton Award?
Yeah, one of them joints. He's not getting that. We know that. Come on, man. Like this, look, this guy definitely has opportunities to be better, right? Off the field. On the field, right? Like, I think that the off the field stuff will help on the field, but on the field already, he's damn good. I'm not saying he's great or amazing, but he's damn good. Look, I put it to you like this, just based solely off of talent. Forget the off the field stuff.
Talent, he's good.
Talent, he's good. Good to great. Right? And that's why I would take him right now over Eli and the other three quarterbacks in that division in the NFC.
I give you Eli if you're talking about talent wise, but as far as between him and Dak,
who throws a better deep ball?
He throws a better deep ball, but who's the better quarterback in general?
Jameis Winston.
I don't know.
Yeah, Jameis is a better overall quarterback than Dak. See, Dak has big holes in his game. See,
you can cater offense to help with that. Like there's certain there's certain quarterbacks who obviously don't, like even with Brady doesn't throw the down the field that deep that pretty all the time
because he don't have
but he has a system.
But he did though.
I'm saying like give Dak a better coach, because obviously Jason Garrett ain't gonna do shit for him. Give him a better coach, and then you can see what really Dak can do.
Dak is limited, bro.
Exactly. I don't think it's the coaching. It's the players around him. And even if he had somebody that can go deep, he's not gonna hit him as often or as accurately as Jameis can. Jameis, in terms of being a quarterback, has more tools in his bag than Dak does.
And the IQ is there.
Okay, so all right, I'll say this. I agree with you all, but at the same time, I have not seen it because of his off the field issues. And I'm saying I don't see that throughout the whole season, because he's always doing something that shoots himself in the foot. So, like, as far as when we talk about consistency, Dak is consistent. Jameis Winston is not that.
No.
Dak wasn't consistent last year.
Exactly. Wait, hold on.
He didn't have his full team last year.
The word that you're looking for.
But he's the quarterback. He's the franchise quarterback.
It's not consistency, it's availability.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is.
Dak is more available because he is smarter off the field, therefore it doesn't impact him on the field. But that's the only difference.
Okay, so what do you see when Jameis comes back, where do you see the Bucs finishing?
They're 500, sub 500
team. They'll probably go 2-2.
So you're saying, okay, so we do. So what is he? Bro, what is he worth then?
The problem is Dirk Cutter. Dirk Cutter is not the coach they pay him to be.
Yep.
They should have kept Lovie Smith.
Yep. I agree with they should have kept Lovie.
Right, and he could have worked with Dak. Number one, people
Jameis
overlooked. Yeah, damn. See, get my blacks confused. number one. People overlook this, but I think it does count. It does make a difference. He's a black coach, and he can relate to a black quarterback, even though Lovie may be old school. But the fact is, he can speak to him in a way that Dirk Cutter cannot speak to him, in a way to try to hold him a little bit more accountable for the things that he do, because he can tell them that his actions bear a certain responsibility, and that he is, whether he wants to be or not, a role model to other kids, and that he has to be twice as good as the other guy. Case in point, Jameis last year at Florida State, all they talked about was his turnovers. His turnovers. He turned the ball over too much. That's going to be a problem in the NFL. Sam Darnold, same thing. And they say, oh, he'll get over it. He'll learn. You know, kept making excuse after excuse after excuse. That's the problem that I have with Sam Darnold, because he wasn't treated as equally as Jameis Winston, and we all know why. But the talent is there, but he needs the coach, he needs the proper system to help him achieve the results that we expect from him.
So you can see that for Jameis. I don't see how you can't see that with Dak.
Because Dak has limitations. I've been watching him the same
but
way.
You don't know what those, if those really are limitations, or they're just limitations that are come from that offense.
No, nah. it's limitations. Think
about it. When he took over as a rookie, right? And I was right by Tony Romo, by the way. Y'all could go back and listen to that. I already said if he was going to get hurt, it was a wrap for him. But anyway, when Dak took over, right? He had Jason Witten. Now, obviously not in his prime,
patchwork Witten.
But Witten was still putting up numbers, and Witten was still clutch, and Witten didn't drop no passes in his entire career, right? Mm. You had Dez Bryant that was still productive.
His
first year, right? Still had that O-line, and obviously he was drafted with Zeke. He still didn't hit Dez deep. He still didn't hit those intermediate to deep passes. Dak is a limited quarterback.
He's Dak and Dunk for a reason.
Exactly. That's what he is. And there's nothing wrong with that, mm-hmm. because we've seen Tom Brady, arguably mm-hmm. the greatest quarterback to play, win that way. But you need guys.
I agree that
Dak doesn't have the coach to be able to take advantage of that skill set.
That's why I think he is Dak and Dunk, is because the coach is like, you mm-hmm. know what? I'm so simple-minded that I'm not even going to try to explain.
Well, in Garrett's defense, the offense was wide open when they had Tony Romo. Like, they were throwing – they were chunking that thing down the field.
But a lot of that was Tony Romo.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tony had that improvisational skill. Tony had that quick sidearm release where he can get balls off where most people couldn't. You know, and Tony had a feel. The greatest quarterbacks, right? And when he was good, he was on the same level as almost all of the greatest. They have a feel for the rush. They don't have to look at the rush. And Tony had great feet in the pocket. Tony had great pocket presence. Not saying that Dak doesn't, but Dak isn't as agile in the pocket like Tony was. Tony was able to create and extend plays. Dak doesn't do that. When Dak takes off, it's for him to take off.
I'm just saying, like, this is he's going into his third season, and they have hopefully a fully healthy team, so we can really see what they are with Dak, and obviously
we
that
know
offense.
What they are.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So let me ask
Zeke,
you this.
Man.
Let me ask you this. If they had Tony Romo, is it Tony's team or is it Zeke's team?
Oh, it's going to be Tony's team.
This year, they have Dak and they have Zeke. Whose team is it?
I mean, if you're looking as far as like who you game plan for,
no. See, you doing that Ken stuff.
I'm just asking.
No. I asked you the question. Why are you asking me a question?
If you want me to be honest, it's Dak's team.
Get out.
It's Dak's
team. Cut that man mic off.
Who has a C on his chest? Who has a C in his chest? God,
do they win?
Who, now, let me ask you.
No. Wait.
Go ahead.
That's nothing. That's patchwork. Do they win if Zeke gets less than 1,500 yards? Do they have a winning record if Zeke gets less than 1,500 yards this season?
Probably not.
Do they have a winning record if Dak gets over 4,000 yards?
Yes.
Nah, I doubt it.
I think so.
You know why? Because that means that they went away from Zeke. Because the strength of that team is Zeke. It's not Dak.
And right? That was evident from last year.
No, Wait, hold on. Because the point I was trying to make and asking you, if Tony's there, why is it Tony's team? Because it doesn't matter the wide receivers that are out there, Tony going to make some magic happen. Dak doesn't do that.
No, I was going to say the team success is relied upon the offensive line. That's first and foremost. Zeke only benefits from that line. Zeke isn't Zeke without that line. Dak isn't Dak without that line, which helps Zeke, which helps him. So that, but when you're talking about who is the leader, the captain of that team, I think it's still Dak because of a head, the neck up. He is a good leader.
That line was intact last year, and those holes were there last year, and the running backs they had last year were running through those holes. It still didn't make a difference because the running backs that's running through the holes are not Zeke.
Well, because obviously, they had what was it? Didn't they get Zeke for the first 6 weeks? Like they were going back and forth as far as
not
the suspension.
First six, it was like four or something like that.
Okay, and didn't they have a winning record during that 4-game span?
Mm-hmm.
So because when you take him, obviously when you take one of your best players out of the team.
But you're just proving the point.
Yeah, no, I'm
because look, Nick, look, you could try to fight it as much as you want to. But at the end of the day, the reason why that Dallas Cowboys team is successful is predicated on the production of Zeke. It's not predicated on the production of Dak. Dak is nice. Dak is a franchise quarterback. But Dak does not move the needle. Dak isn't the reason why you win, but he could damn sure be the reason why you lose.
No, I'm saying the reason why I was saying that they had a winning record with – I'm saying when you have everything together, you win games. When you take either one of them out, like if Dak went down, I think the Cowboys are in trouble.
Nah.
You don't think the Cowboys are – you could think they could put anybody behind that center and it'll be good?
What I'm saying is you put them at least a Alex Smith back there, it's the same thing.
At least? That's great. That's a top 15 quarterback. Top 10 probably.
No.
He's not top 10.
You're not top 10.
He can. I can't name 10 quarterbacks better than Alex Smith. Go ahead. Try to do it right now.
pull up the teams. Pull up the teams.
Go. Give me five right now.
Obviously,
that's easy. Aaron Rodgers. No, I'm saying it's easy to
Tom
do five.
Brady,
the backhand five.
Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, and Matt Ryan.
Okay, who else? All right. So what's the other five?
Let me see.
Okay, now you picking out straws.
Now I gotta think more.
You say Carson Wentz?
No, Carson Wentz. I give me Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Give me
over Alex Smith.
Yes. I'll take Kirk Cousins over Alex Smith.
I take Kirk Cousins over Alex Smith too.
They're the same player to me.
Nah.
When's the last time Alex Smith threw for 300?
Actually, last year. What do you mean? Last year? And who throws less interceptions?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Before Andy Reid.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. Andy Reid has a system.
Why are you trying to make this argument so where it's like, oh, yeah, think about only the first 2 years and the first five games.
I'll put it to you like this.
Man, Alex Smith might not even make top 15.
That's what I'm saying. He's 15
are you
or less.
No, you were
I'm
at
a real
eight.
Off. This is and you just tell me where you disagree.
Okay.
Greg Rosenthal from the NFL.com back in March 12th of this year, top 32 Sentinel. So we all obviously know the top Brady,
number one.
Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Breeze, Wentz, Wilson, Matt Ryan, Newton, Stafford, Luck, Rivers, Garoppolo. Cousins,
I'm not
Winston,
Garoppolo.
Prescott, Mariota, Derek Carr, and then Alex Smith at 18.
I'm not taking Mariota. Okay. Hell nah. I'm not taking Dak. I'm not taking Winston. I'm not taking who
you
else?
You just caped for
no, I didn't cape for
you,
I
caped for Dak.
I say Dak is. I swear when we were comparing Dak and Winston.
So Alex Smith is better than Dak to you?
Yes. What makes you say that he isn't? By statistically, or by play, by wins. Like what is there to argue with?
I think Alex Smith is a very limited quarterback, and he thrived.
He didn't look limited last year, except
Andy
for the playoffs.
Reed. Andy, Alex Smith looked very mediocre for his entire career until he got to Andy Reid. Andy Reid goes to the Cowboys, Dak throwing for 300 and some yards, bro.
Didn't he take the 49ers to the NFC title game?
That was all defense and scheme.
Okay. Because when he was hurt, who replaced him?
Kaepernick.
And what happened?
Super Bowl.
They still same results. Nothing really changed much.
No. It did change. Because of Kaepernick's legs, it got him over the hump to get to the Super Bowl.
Right. But still, they were still winning is what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, they were still winning. Regardless of who they had back there calling the signals.
And that wasn't Alex Smith's team.
Do you take Alex Smith over Phillip Rivers?
No.
I can't.
That was only nine?
Stafford and Andrew
No,
Luck.
I'm saying I'll say Rivers. I'll take Rivers over Alex.
Oh, Garoppolo.
Hell no.
Talk it to the mic, Ken.
My bad. So you already out on Kirk Cousins.
So obviously Jimmy G, because he just hasn't
I'm not going to give you Watson either because he only played six games.
Nah.
I need a full season.
I saw a good rookie.
I saw a really good rookie. He was breaking all the records, but I don't know if he's going to be
a franchise quarterback.
I'm hoping he is. He's looking like it, but we got to see this season because they got game tape on him.
He'll be all right.
I'm always worried about game tape.
He'll be all right.
Deshaun, man, yo, that brother, the truth. Man, you know what? I'm tired of you coming on this show dogging all the black quarterbacks.
I'm not dogging all the black quarterbacks.
We ain't gonna stand for that. Winston, you know, the only person you caping for is Dak.
I just talked about Dak.
Yeah, and if we rub his skin, he might be white underneath. We don't know that.
I'm just being honest as far as and being factual as far as what I've seen and what I can actually count on. And some of the players that y'all bringing up, I can't count on them just yet.
I don't know how you after 3 years, man. Like I get the off the field issues. Those are valid. I can't even defend Winston on those anymore. Nope. But on the field, that brother can.
He's increased his play every year. I've seen that, like the numbers go up. But it's just that as far as his team is so talented though. Did y'all watch that hard? Like when they were on Hard Knocks last year, like
where? Well, they oh yeah.
Defensively, yeah. Offensively,
they don't have a running back though.
They don't.
That's going to be their problem.
I mean, but if you're talking about quarterbacks, like. They still got Mike Evans, top 10 receiver, O.J. Howard. They still had Deshaun Jackson. They still got who else? They have on the defense end, Gerald McCoy. They got players.
They do.
They don't have a coach.
Yep.
They don't have a coach, bro.
They don't.
You know, it is what it is. What's your issue with Jimmy G, man?
I just haven't seen enough. Like
talking about you haven't seen
because
enough.
Because the hype train is already off the tracks, like with Jimmy G, like – okay, he so far in his seven starts, he's 7-0, and that's counting New England.
So, what did you get from the sample size that you did see?
From what I got is that he is a competent quarterback. He can handle the offense. Kyle Shanahan is going to put him in the right places to win, and he kind of has. I can see that he has that it factor, but I just need to see it for a full season. Like I have to see you more longer than he didn't even play. Technically, his career is even half a season. So now people are – he got a $135 million contract. If we talking about players
Matt Castle got the same deal.
You got to pay that man.
Yeah, you got to pay
him. He ain't got $135 million.
No, but what I'm saying is that he barely played. He showed up.
But he played a full season though at least.
Okay, fine. But you still had to pay the man. You pay people in professional sports off of potential.
You pay quarterbacks mostly.
Now, to your point, he went somewhere else. He did win a little bit when he left Kansas New City. England. Yeah, he won a little bit. It was all right. But I forgot who was coaching that team, though.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. Was that Todd Haley?
No.
Talking about Kansas City?
Yeah, he went to Kansas City.
I don't think it was Todd
But he did all right. He did all right. But he
was a backup. That's
he
what
turned
he looked
into
like.
A backup. Exactly. Yes. Yeah,
when he left Bill Belichick and them, mm-hmm. he looked like a backup quarterback that he was drafted to be.
Which shows the importance of having a coach. And I think Kyle Shanahan, you know, we saw what he did with Matt Ryan.
Yep.
And,
made him an MVP.
Mm-hmm. And now we saw what he can do with a guy similar to Matt Ryan, and that's Jimmy G.
And let's give – I feel that – not enough credit is given to John Lynch, the GM.
He is a phenomenal GM.
Bruh.
Early, too.
Oh, I thought you were early? Wait, you early on him?
No. I'm just no.
Then we gotta wait and see.
No. I'm saying as far as a GM, you I'm look at you judge a GM differently. You judge different things differently. I know. As a GM, like his draft picks have been have looked really good. Yes. Getting Kyle Shanahan was probably the
Jimmy
best.
G.
Yeah, getting trading for Jimmy G. Just what did they only give up, like a second round pick for him?
Yeah, which turned into what, Isaiah Wynn?
Whoever it is, but obviously they got they won that deal of the trade. So far he's making right moves. I mean, and then
it's always funny, man, how you know whenever these things happen, everybody go on TV and start criticizing, you know, moves like that. Like everybody talked down on John Lynch. And now here he is. Like, nobody even gave the man a chance to get in there and do the job.
Yeah.
You know, they were already saying, oh, well, he's never did this. He's never done that. You know, he's done. I was like, man, you give the guy a shot.
All right. Here's the Niners first six games. So 6-0. They start off the season playing. They're at Minnesota. Then
they'll win that game.
Then they're at home against the Lions. Then they're on the road at Kansas City. At the Chargers, then they have a home game versus Arizona, and then they're at Green Bay. That is going to show me what exactly who Jimmy
they'll probably is. Go 3-3. I think they'll get the Lions. They probably get Kansas City.
Nah, I don't know.
And they'll get Arizona.
You the one who like Mahomes. That's going to be a good battle see.
Look,
that preseason right there,
he was with Tyreek Hill.
He threw it with 80 yards.
Yo, look. People say, oh, I got to – man.
I was low on Mahomes, right, but I'm coming around. Around.
Look, and the reason why I'm high on him early like this, the coach. Well, Andy Reid has proven throughout his entire career as a head coach, give me a guy that's competent at quarterback, I'll make him into a star. Did it with McNabb. Not saying that McNabb
couldn't
have done it, you know,
Pro
by
bowler.
Himself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But early on, McNabb hit. Why? Andy Reid. You know what I'm saying? Alex Smith, career mediocrity. Last year, career year. Why? Andy Reid. Andy Reid is the guy. And then you give him a young quarterback with a cannon like that? Man. I'll take that all day.
Man, people didn't even know who Alex Smith was last year.
All right, come on, man.
They didn't know who he was, man, last year.
He's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen, but he's not no chump.
No, but he's mediocre, meaning that he's a game manager that isn't going to win you a game, right? For Alex Smith to win, a lot of other things has to go right. You got to have a defense. He's not going to turn the ball over.
He's risk averse, yeah.
Exactly. You got to have a run game, and you got to have at least one wide receiver or a tight end that he can throw to consistently.
Isn't that every good team?
No.
That you just described?
No. Because
outside of like two teams, are we talking about the Pats and Green Bay?
No, because Russell Wilson has done it without a true offensive.
Nothing.
But he's done it with a coach and a defense.
Okay,
the defense is gone.
Yeah, exactly. Now it is. I'm just talking about
it. And they're still going to win. Year. And they're still going to be at least a 500% win team just based off of Russell Wilson because he's that good.
How many wins do you think the Seahawks get this year with what they have
nine.
Right now?
Yeah, I was going to say 9.
I think they go 8-8.
That's cool. It's right there.
Yeah,
it's either 8-8 or 9-7. You know, it is what it is. But the reason why they get those wins, Russell Wilson. No other reason
why. Yes, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Alex Smith, you put him – in Seattle, them boys winning 4 games, man.
Well, I think you put anybody, like, that line, obviously we see him running for his life every single game. So I don't know, unless you are a mobile quarterback, only mobile quarterbacks can win.
Well, Alex Smith is a mobile quarterback, ain't he?
He's white. He's white mobile.
I'm just saying, though. All I'm saying is that Alex Smith is the definition of mediocrity. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Mediocrity always gets a negative connotation, especially in sports. But he's kind of the barometer of what's good and bad, right? Like he's not great. He's, you know, pretty good, and he ain't really bad. If you're worse than Alex Smith, you don't have a quarterback. If you have Alex Smith and you don't have a squad, you don't have a quarterback. But if you have Alex Smith and you have a squad, you got a chance. You're not guaranteed. Like, who would you say? You put Alex Smith with the Rams right now. You could still say that they could go play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You put – give me your worst quarterback. Who's the worst quarterback in the NFL right
Josh
now?
Josh McCown.
I was going to say
Nathan. Josh McCown.
Nathan Peterman.
Nathan Peterman. You put him with the Rams? Are they?
Josh Peterson.
All of them.
Peterman.
You put a bad quarterback with the Rams. Are you still saying that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender? With a bad quarterback.
Sean McVay, he got magic. I don't know.
Case
Keenum on the Rams?
Yeah.
They still going to the Super Bowl.
No. They make a playoffs. Case Keenum is extremely
accurate. He was one game away from going to the Super Bowl.
No, Case Keenum is extremely
accurate.
And that
was with Mike Zimmer.
He's extremely accurate. So that's the only reason why I would say that they'll be a playoff team. I can't pencil them into the Super Bowl, right? Like, they're not the paper champs. You got to have at least a decent quarterback, right, Alex Smith or better, for that team to make it
Trevor Simeon.
Hell, them boys ain't going nowhere.
Put Trevor Simeon on the Rams.
No.
Paxton Lynch.
No. Who?
Who got cut?
Who do the Ravens just draft? Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Put Lamar Jackson on the Rams. They making it? Nope. They can't throw the rock.
RG3.
Nope. They
well,
nope.
He too hurt. He man made a glass.
But at the end of the day, that's what I'm saying. Alex Smith with a squad. Put Alex Smith in Miami. What do they do? Nothing. Nothing.
He wins them two more games than they won last year.
8-8, not in the playoffs.
That's still two games.
But all I'm saying is that Alex Smith is a barometer. Alex Smith with a squad, you go far. Alex Smith without the squad, you ain't doing jack.
All right. So we all went off on a tangent. So we were talking about the North, right? NFC North. Uh-huh. So the storylines are obviously showing out right now as far as the NFC North. Is it still a sign, sealed, delivered that Green Bay comes out?
Of course, 1,000%.
There's no competition, no. Not even with Minnesota?
No.
Nah, Kirk Cousins still there.
Yeah, here's the thing. Top to bottom, obviously, I think Minnesota has the best roster. But when you have Aaron Rodgers, that it don't matter.
Because, you know, I'm coming around on Cousins, on that team. At first, I was like, eh. But now
– that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that team is stacked.
Yeah, they're super stacked.
They might
stacked.
Be all right, man. Yeah. They just might be all right.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like – to me, he's this era's Tony Romo.
That is a good way to put it. I never looked at it that way.
He's Tony Romo. He give you the yards. He's mobile enough. You know, Tony was more mobile than
I was going to say he's this era's Jeff Garcia.
Nah. Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia.
Well, because when he was with Tampa Bay, remember he was a playoff team.
Tampa Bay, San Francisco.
But here's the thing. I think Kirk Philly? Cousins is one of these quarterbacks that it don't matter what wide receiver is out there, he's good for 300 yard games.
Because he spread the ball around. Because he spreads really, the really ball. Well. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? He's really good at that. But I think the biggest hindrance for him is the timely mistake. It's just like college football. Like I always say, it's not if you lose, it's when you lose. And for Kirk Cousins and Tony Romo, it's not if they make the mistake, it's when they make the mistake.
Now, late in his career, Romo got a lot better at that.
But still.
But he was still played by it for the bulk of his career.
They always said he had that Brett Favre itch as far as like he tried to make something happen out of nothing.
Yeah, because you know, that comes from supreme confidence. You know what I'm saying? And you play quarterback position, you got to have that where I don't care if the window is 3 inches, bro. I can make the pass. Mm-hmm. You got to have that or else you can't win. And I get it. However, it's all about you got to have discretion. And Brett Favre, Tony Romo, and the quarterbacks alike, They don't have that discretion. Tom Brady has discretion. Aaron Rodgers has discretion. They know that they could probably fit that ball.
But they want to make the best
right
choice.
Right now, with a minute and a half to go, I'm going to throw it out of bounds. You know, they have discretion. That's the reason why they win games. That's the reason why they win close games. That's the reason why they pull the rabbit out the hat. And that's the reason why Tony Romo and Brett Favre lose those type of games.
Yeah. The NFL issued a statement on Kaepernick. Why they feel the need to respond, I don't know why.
Oh, my God.
It's not bad. It's just this blah, blah, blah.
But why
blah,
do they
man.
Have to address it?
That's what I'm saying.
This guy's not even part of your league.
What
no
does
more.
It even say?
The National Football League believes in dialogue, understanding, and unity. We embrace the role and responsibility of everyone involved with this game to promote meaningful, positive change in our communities, said Joycelyn Moore, the NFL's executive VP of communications and public affairs. The social justice issues that Colin and other professional athletes have raised deserve our attention and action.
Whoa. Look. Oh, my God, bro.
Are they backpedaling?
No, they're not backpedaling.
They're just middle of the road.
This is just words.
Yep.
No, no. See, and this is why I have a problem. This is the reason why my face is scrunched up right now, and I'm sounding like my grandma. Like, I can't even get words out right now. Because it's about your actions. It's about your actions in the community. Your players for the last several seasons, mm-hmm. and even before this, right? Before the media and the commercialism of, you know, Pro Brother, you know what I'm saying? There have been issues, and you have not set any actions to help out these communities. But now a player that's no longer in your league because you've blackballed because of said forth issues, you feel compelled to release a statement to do what? What is this statement doing?
It's for everybody to use that statement to defend the NFL.
That's why I said they're backpedaling, because like the language they use is more of like, oh, I like we kind of agree with Nike. Like, oh, the dialogue is always good. That's how people just say something.
They didn't say they
something.
Agree. They just said that social let me read this.
Well, thing. I'm just saying, like, that's what anybody would agree with that statement. That's what I mean. Like, it's a statement that kind of says that we're not really saying it, but we're
right,
saying
right. Yeah,
it.
We believe in dialogue. Yeah, understanding
they just felt they're feeling the heat, right? Like, the guy that you blackballed, a company that's, you know, arguably bigger than you because they're global and NFL is not, you know what I'm saying, is backing this guy when you turned your back on this guy. So you feel compelled to save face.
They are. This is surprising because the NFL has been so strong and so dominant for so long that you would think that their PR team would be somewhat like competent or in knows of the like involved with the times. But they keep dropping the ball on every single issue.
It's just, you know, actions speak louder than words, and that old adage holds true. And my thing is if you were doing stuff in the community, there's no reason to advertise it or to make this type of statement if you were really about that life.
Shout out to Tom Brady, man.
He retweeted.
I know I don't say this often, you know, on the show.
You don't say nothing often about Tom Brady.
But he did like Colin Kaepernick's Instagram post. He be on Instagram a lot, Tom Brady. So, and you know what? I think it's sincere. I think a lot of things that Tom has been doing and showing, like, a different side of him. He's always been very, you know, straight and narrow to the point, very, you know, button up, as they like to say. He won't give you anything. He'll just give you those straight answers. But now he's really starting to come out and really stand for certain things. He's liking all kind of posts. So, shout out to him for liking Cap's posts. I think that's big. And I think that for Brady, it means a lot because – Brady cares a lot about his image, and being in Boston,
he don't have to say nothing.
Right. Like, he can face backlash for basically endorsing, because that is an endorsement. You're endorsing what Colin is saying. He hasn't – I mean, he gave the NFL-type answer, you know, when asked about it, that he supports the rights or whatever, but – No, I think that's big. So shout out to Brady, man. Brady,
I'm not
going to
give him
a
shout out just yet because he still had that "Make America Great Again" hat in his locker.
I think he realized the error of his ways. Man. I think he didn't know. Like, Trump had a lot of people fooled, man. Like, everybody was cool with his brother. Like, in the hip hop used to shout him out and rap about him in lyrics and stuff. And then this man get in office, they were like, "Oh, whoa, what is this?" Like, we had that debate briefly on "Is the Mic Still On" podcast, which you guys should subscribe to, by the way. Where, you know, Kanye came out and was like, yeah, I know a lot of black people that voted for Trump, but they're afraid to say it because they're afraid of the backlash. And I think that may be part of it. I think there's also another way of looking at it is that they may be embarrassed they voted for Trump because they didn't know
what
he
was
going to
do
all this stuff. So it can go either way. I'm sure you have people that feel one way or the other. But, yeah, so yeah. But you notice, like, his wife was like, nah, we ain't messing with that dude. And Brady hasn't said anything about him. Have we seen the hat? I don't think the hat been back in there.
I mean, I don't know if they still friends and all that stuff. But
I don't think they are.
It's bad for business.
Yeah.
I think they keep it behind closed doors, man. They still probably texting
I don't
each
think
other.
So. I think Brady, man, might really be a good guy.
All right, man.
Yeah,
you're drinking the Kool-Aid too much off of a like.
What's in that vitamin water, bro?
I don't know, man. I keep hearing things about this guy, man. I'm like, man, stop it. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to be, you know, Brady stands for white supremacy. And it's not his fault. It's just like he became that image.
I don't see how you can accidentally be a part of white supremacy.
Because I don't think it's, I mean, well, the MAGA hat is one thing that he did endorse. But, you know, he was a symbol. He's a clean cut little pretty boy. You know, go out there and do the right thing, say the right thing, very corporate, you know, winning all these games. And, you know, it was just, and, you know, what they did to the Raiders, the Tuck rule they made up out of nowhere. Get out of here, man. Brady represents the man. He represented the man.
You just flipped that quick. I went right back.
But I'm trying not to find, you know, as I grow and get older and a little bit more mature, I'm trying not to find fault in him for what society has kind of came underneath and pushed him up to be the face of them. And that, the Patriots, we're the Patriots. And, you know, they break the rules and get away with it. Just like you were just saying about billions, you know, you know, you can do whatever you want to do because, you know, you'll get away with it. And that's how they've done it.
You gotta watch that show, Ken.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Ray Allen still beefing with the Celtics. Said he don't expect.
How y'all feel about that situation? How it played out?
That's weird, man.
It's weird that it's still going on.
Because I thought it was like it seemed like a hard, like a brotherhood, and then all of a sudden he left out of nowhere, and then it just
it's not out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, but nobody expected him to leave to go to that team. It was kind of like he did the KD before KD.
But not really, because he wasn't at KD's level.
No, I'm just saying the reason why he got away with it, because at the time, obviously, they were way past their prime. Mm-hmm. He was just the spot-up shooter at that point.
Yeah,
It was shocking, you know, when it happened
And I think that, you know, Boston kind of – they wanted that rivalry, right? Boston versus LeBron.
And it was fun.
It definitely was
Paul
fun.
Pierce versus LeBron. Remember that game six? Game six or seven?
What you talking about? When LeBron 45, 15, and 5?
The one that they went to the finals and won, the Celtics.
No. I'm talking about when he was a Cav. And he went toe-to-toe with Paul Pierce.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, not the Miami game. Yeah.
No.
There was a game seven
in Miami, too.
No. It was game six Boston when LeBron played. I have that picture on my Instagram.
I think
that was in LeBron's top three greatest performances, because he came out and it said, "Look, D-Wade, you nice, but you not me."
Whoa, I'm not talking about that game. That was another one.
You talking about the Cavs?
No. I know you're talking about game six.
Oh, yeah.
Miami.
Man, don't disrespect.
Can we just leave Wade out of 45, 15, and 5.
This has nothing to do with Wade. Go ahead and speak.
No, it has everything to do with everybody on that Miami Heat team. The way LeBron came out.
He came out like a...
I think he made his first like 5-6 shots.
Yeah, I think it was more than that.
It was like 7 or 8 or something
Yeah, and he was taking tough shots. You just saw it on his face.
It was inside, outside, mid-range.
It didn't matter. Yeah. Like, everybody going to get work today. D-Wade, give me the... Hey, man, just go chill over there, bro. I got it. Bosh, hey, matter of fact, Spoelstra, don't even call no timeout.
That was the one time... Like, if he kept that same energy... Throughout the rest, like from there moving forward,
but see, he would have LeBron addressed it. LeBron addressed it in that post game interview where he said, "You know, people want me to do this every game." He's like, "This is impossible. You have to summon those for real. All of the greatest, you have to summon those performances. You can't. That's just not every game. Even Jordan. See." This revisionist history thinks that Jordan every damn game performed at the highest level. No, Jordan missed clutch free throws.
Nick Anderson with the steal.
Jordan had turnovers. Jordan had performances that he had to summon because his back was against the wall.
But you never questioned the dog in Jordan. And I remember you specifically saying there's times where you question LeBron's dog. In the NBA finals.
The only time, and I'm
there was
on
two
record.
Times, two finals.
No.
This past finals and the one that they lost to Dallas.
I didn't question LeBron's dog.
You said that he gave up in most of those games.
No, what I said was that LeBron understood that the Cavs had to play perfect for them to win. And once that perfection was gone, there was nothing else he can do. So therefore he let up because you're talking about 4 to 5 guys versus me. And you know what? I'll take on the challenge, but as soon as these guys start acting up, What am I supposed to do, bro?
And Jordan used to get checked a lot by the Pistons. The Pistons used to check him a lot. And they built up his toughness, his resolve, because they used to wallop him every single time.
You think that's what Boston did with LeBron?
Boston made LeBron mentally tougher as the Pistons made Jordan mentally and physically tougher.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, but yeah.
And you know what? I know I'm probably going to go a little bit to the right, but that's why I always say that it doesn't matter how talented you are. You got to take your lumps in the playoffs. Like, you have to have heartbreak in the playoffs so that way you understand what it is.
Yeah, because Boston made LeBron go to Miami. You think if he would have beat that Boston team and go to the finals that he would have, like, stayed with Cleveland?
If he would have won, he would have stayed.
No, I don't think he would have stayed.
You think he wasn't leaving regardless?
I think he was leaving regardless because, and I've said this for forever.
The organization.
You
know,
the organization. They never were able to really put a real team, that first go-round, to put a real team
they
around
had a
LeBron.
Chance to get Amari Stoudemire,
and
bro.
You go get Antoine Jameson instead. Nah, bro.
Just like, that was criminal. What are y'all doing?
You see what I'm saying? So like, once upon a time, Wally Szczerbiak was paid more than LeBron James on the same squad. You know, I never understood the moves. I never understood the personnel. Like, you know what LeBron is, because LeBron was LeBron from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He just added on to his game, but LeBron was the guy day one. So once you saw that, Zilgiunas, love him, but he was over the hill just because of injury. Mad skillful, but he was just always injured.
Yeah.
You had to move on from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If Amari Stoudemire was on the table, I don't care how concerned people were about his knees, you go get Amari Stoudemire. Amari Stoudemire was 20-10 guaranteed. You go get that instead of Antoine Jameson because of a stretch. No, give me the more talented guy all the time. And I think for those reasons, LeBron was gone either way.
And to be honest, if Ray didn't actually go to that Miami team at the time, LeBron would only have two rings. Yeah.
He would have got another one.
Look.
They lost that Spurs champ, that series.
They would have lost that game without Ray. I don't know if there's another NBA three-point shooter before that, because I think Clay could hit that. I think there's three-point shooters now today that could hit that same shot. But before that, I don't know who could have hit that shot.
The pressure, just spot up and
Reggie,
just shoot.
Reggie.
Everything had to go perfect. I still go back and watch this.
Because then Chris Bosh get the rebound. He kicked it out to LeBron.
To LeBron.
LeBron kicked
first
it out to
time
Ray.
Pop has actually been heavily criticized before as a coach for taking Tim Duncan out.
Yep.
That wasn't happening. To Pop,
they literally rolled out the championship and then they rolled it right back in.
that game was over. Because I'll never forget. I was sitting there watching.
The series was over, not just the game.
Well,
the series was
I was sitting there watching it, man. And LeBron hit that first three. I was like, oh, okay. Wait, no. Didn't he brick it? Didn't he hit the rim the first time?
Yeah, he missed it.
And they got the rebound. And that's why he kicked it out. And then he hit the second three. Mm-hmm. And then it came back to him. And then, and I think he was just taking the shots just because he's supposed to take the shot.
He didn't really want. You could tell he didn't really want to.
He
take
was
that
calling
last shot.
For it. I think he wanted to take. He was calling. Like, he didn't run away from it. He was calling for the ball. But I think at that point, it may have felt inevitable, and he was just taking it just because.
Well, he knew they needed a three.
Wait, no.
They were double teaming, and then he kicked
Kawhi
it out.
Leonard and Manu, of course. But I think Kawhi missed the second free throw mm-hmm. that left it open.
Yep.
And then, and people don't give LeBron credit for making that first three, you know, and set him up.
And LeBron had a lot of clutch jumpers in that entire series
because they were trailing in that going into the fourth quarter. They were trailing. They had to come back to even get in that position. And the Spurs, Tony Parker, who had that little turnaround, little floater, I think. To put them up was, I think he hit a big three in that game. I was like, oh, when he took it, I was like, oh, that's not going in. And Tony Parker was hitting everything.
Yeah, he was.
It was like, what the hell was going on?
That was the last squeeze of Tony.
But man, when Bosh grabbed that rebound and kicked that thing out to Ray, I don't know, man. It just felt like it was going in.
I knew it's Ray Allen. I was like, once I saw it, I was like, it's going in. And
you know, one thing, and I evaluate players. I look at everything. Ray Allen is one of the few shooters that doesn't bend his knees when he goes to jump.
It's all thrust motion.
He's able to jump, but look at the size of that man's calf muscles. ridiculously big, because the man doesn't bend. And that's one of the few reasons why he was actually able to hit that jumper. Because remember, he was backpedaling. Mm-hmm. His momentum's taking him backwards. And for him to still elevate enough and to get enough under that shot to not hit rim, to hit nothing but
that,
that's crazy.
It shows he's a craftsman, because obviously – the stories of how he shows up early, like 2-3 hours earlier, and just shoots.
I used to, when you know, I was more in shape and I actually cared about competitive basketball, I used to do the Ray Allen drill. Bruh, it is tiring. I could see why Ray Allen is such a great shooter. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. There's a Ray Allen shooting drill. Just look it up.
Ray Allen used to get on my nerves on that team, man, because he sometimes would forget that he was old. And he'll get the ball on a fast break. And every time he would turn it over. Because he was, at that point, he was dribbling with his head down like Clyde Drexler. And he would turn it over every single time. But I think there's something else that, you know, isn't talked about enough. That game 7, LeBron put on a show, too, to basically seal that title.
And let's not – okay, if we're talking how great LeBron has been in finals, what about the one when they lost 4-1 to the Spurs and they got ran off the court in historic fashion? Look at LeBron's numbers in that
season. His numbers are ridiculous.
LeBron showed up.
Yeah. The cramp game changed that whole series.
Yep, because they kind of had him and then, you know, they didn't. And then D-Wade, you know, I told you after that first one he wasn't the same. D-Wade was, oh my God, he was a shell of himself during that series. Chris Bosh, you know, I don't know what was going on, but it was literally all LeBron. It felt like Cleveland all over.
Yeah, such a shame, man.
I think they were feeling themselves that going into that finals.
Nah.
Because they were back-to-back. They were back-to-back. Yeah, they were trying to do a three-peat, and I think they just – they thought they could, like, oh, we did it once.
If you followed them, if it was documented throughout that whole year that there was just some things going on that year with them chemistry-wise that they just
– yeah,
they were just getting through the hump.
And D-Wade didn't have it physically. Mm-mm. If you look at Golden State, any team that's won at least two championships back-to-back, every person from the organization, from the owner down will tell you there's tension that starts to brew because it's – an extremely long season. You got to look at this guy's mug. He took three shots that you didn't like. You know what I'm saying? It, all of that stuff builds up and it amplifies because you're on the biggest stage of your profession.
They even said it. Like, they said they couldn't stand each other that season. Like, now they're talking about it. They said by the time they got to that fourth year, they said they couldn't stand each other.
Mm-hmm. and look at what's happening with Golden State.
I was going to ask.
And it's very interesting because you
David West retiring?
Is it?
Yeah, David West retired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay, wow.
Yeah, but he was saying that some stuff went on that season that
of course
people don't know about.
Of course. And then I think what's very interesting is you add arguably the hottest head in the NBA to that. You know, basketball-wise, talent-wise, obviously it's not even
over
close.
Under. DeMarcus Cousins going to punch Draymond.
Under.
Yeah,
I think the way Draymond was talking about LeBron James in the shop, I don't know. He's not a tough guy to me no more.
Well, not after Tristan Thompson, you know, knock
some sense into him.
I don't know.
Draymond,
man,
always, like, once you're a part of the team, you like he takes you in. You know what I'm saying? So
he does, but he's still a hothead. Like, he was yelling at everybody 1 year.
Because he's the enforcer of the team.
He ain't going to be yelling at Cousins like that.
He think he is.
He ain't got no.
Okay, wait. I take it back. He is going to yell at Cousins like that.
He ain't got. He got to wait till March. He got to wait till March. Cousins ain't gonna be back until March, so he's gonna be chilling.
You know, honestly, I think first of all, he's gonna come back. He's gonna be 100%, if not better. I think he's actually gonna come back sooner than most people are anticipating as well.
They don't need him to, though.
They don't need him to, but he needs to for himself, for his brand, for the future dollars that he gave up this year. He needs to get on that court and prove something.
I love Cousins, man. That's one of my favorite players in NBA.
You know what? And I have to give you props because when you were high on him right out of college and I wasn't, because right out of college, he didn't really show his versatility like that.
Yeah.
You know, and he was even a hotter head. So it just got in the way. It just murked everything that he could do. But once he started to calm down a little bit and he started to expand his game, I was like, oh, man.
And when he started losing some weight and started actually, like, committing.
Yeah.
Like, I always thought – I've heard other people say, like, he was the best player, like, in that top five.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? John Wall is – I was like, John Wall is the number one. Like, what are you saying? But then now you can kind of see, like, with John Wall kind of slipping and now because
– John Wall slipping to you?
As far as, like – is he the best player on that team?
In Washington? Yes.
So you saying you would trade – you between him and Bradley Beal, who are you trading?
I would – okay, so the way I would like to construct the team, I'd probably get rid of Bradley Beal because I think that I can replace him easier than I can replace John Wall.
Even though Bradley Beal had a little bit of a come-out party.
I think I would trade Wall – and because I could get more back from him. And for me, the chemistry with just Bradley Beal on the court and the rest of the team, didn't they have, like, a winning record? Like, they
won some games.
They were winning more than when.
They still need a Wall, though.
No, you still need Wall, obviously, because if you have him, you need him. But I'm saying, like, I don't know.
I got a reality check
on Wall last season.
Bill definitely showed his value.
No, I have not.
Who, John Wall?
Yeah, man. He's.
It's not about physical, because physically he's one of the. He's a top five, top three talent wise, point guard wise. But it's the neck. It's like for me, for some reason, like I never understand when you have two back like a backcourt team like that. Like they should be the ones that be talking about as far as like between like you know Steph and Clay. You know you have Lillard and McCollum. Like why hasn't Wall and Beal been that type? Because
they didn't like each other.
And that why like.
Can't tell you why it just happens, but
because you would think that
changed.
They were like we can take this team further than anybody in history of the organization before. So why are we fighting with each other when we're all trying? Like you can see both of them want to win.
Well, sometimes you know, KD said it right. Like I don't know if you guys are on IG and stuff, but KD's been talking to a lot of kids. You know,
he got into it with somebody else too. By the way,
are you talking about like just talking trash or just motivating?
No, just talking kids. Yeah. You know, talking to kids, basketball camps, and all of this. And he was talking to a group of kids, and he said, "You know, I'm a supreme scorer, and I need a point guard. I got to rock with a point guard. If I don't have a point guard, I can't get off the way I need to get off." And I think that Bradley Beal sometimes the way he plays is like. Give me the ball, move the hell out the way. And as a point guard, me, myself, being a point guard, a pass first point guard, sometimes when you want the ball isn't the best time for you to get the ball to do what you need to do. Sometimes I know when it's best for you to get the ball. And I think that that's where their tension comes from.
Do you trust John Wall's decision-making skills as a point guard? Pure point guard.
Yes. In terms of passing the ball, I think where I don't like John Wall's decision making is I feel that he settles for too many jumpers. And he's an improved jump shooter, but he's not where he needs to be. And he settles too much because he can get to the basket every time.
I think he is a more athletic Dwayne Wade as far as.
Nah.
No, I mean, as far as, like, he doesn't have a shot, but he can somewhat get a mid-range.
D-Wade always had mid-range.
No, I'm just saying, like.
Stay disrespectful.
No, I'm not saying, like, he's as. What I'm trying to say is that I see the same limitations for him that I kind of can see with Dwayne. Like, you don't trust him as a consistent three-point shooter.
D-Wade is way
He doesn't stretch the floor. Yeah. So he has to be in the mid-range or post player. When it comes to, like, him utilizing his best skill set, right? Mm-hmm. Same way as Dwayne Wade. With Beal can score anywhere on the floor. So when you say that he puts him in the best positions to, like obviously, Beal, you know, step back, mm-hmm. maybe that's not the best shot for you. For him, like you just alluded to, he doesn't really know how to create a best shot for himself. So that makes me question his shot selection for his other teammates.
But as a pure point guard, you understand time, possession, score, and more so the timing of when a player gets a ball, right? Not the fact that you will or will not get the ball, but when you get it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that Bradley Beal sometimes takes issue that John Wall may hold the ball for an extra two or three dribbles, and then I get it. You know what I'm saying? I just think that John Wall just needs to be more consistent with the mid-range. I really think that that's the biggest thing lacking in his game right now.
I thought he was getting it too. What was that series? Not last year, but the year before that.
He's had moments.
When Paul Pierce was with them, I thought that was like – I thought that was the best vet to be with him, as far as like to say to kind of coach him and be like, hey, you should do this more. You should like, and they actually, you know, they actually did something, but. Once Pierce left,
I got game. I call game.
Yeah. Once Pierce left,
call bank? I got game.
Once Pierce left, I felt like he went back to his old ways. Like I thought they were kind of like.
I think John Wall has definitely grown a lot. I think he learned a lot from Paul Pierce, and I don't think he's gone back to his ways. I just think that, and there's a lot. It's a lot of point guards.
Should they have beaten Toronto last season in the playoffs?
Last season, did they make the playoffs?
Yeah, they lost to Toronto in
the first round.
Yeah.
Nah. There was just too much dissension on that squad.
Yeah, and I don't think the issues last year was John Wall's fault. I think the other players were messy.
Marcin Gortat. Yeah. That's why he's not there.
Started talking a lot of crap when John Wall, you know, was hurt and they were winning. And, you know, so they got a little cocky. Yeah, but he out now. He gone. Is Bradley Beal Allen Houston?
No. Hell no. Hell no. Look, there's been some underrated guys to give Jordan the business. He's one of them. Allen Houston, I'm talking about. Like, Allen Houston was way underrated in terms of, like, when people think about history.
I'm just thinking about his game, though. You don't think the games are similar?
It's hard to describe Beal.
I'm running Beal real, you know, highlight real.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to describe, like, who he plays like.
Yes, but he's missing a main component of Allen Houston's game, which is the back to the basket. Allen Houston could put you in the post, mid-range, even put his back, you know, on the three-point line and get where he wants to. Bradley Beal doesn't really have a back to the basket game. I think he needs to add that.
Does Dwight Howard make a difference for him this year?
He's going to be an anchor defensively.
Yeah.
He's going to secure a lot of
because his numbers have like
– Double-double 14 straight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, his numbers are still, like, good. Obviously, they're not to where he was in Orlando. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be serviceable, but I think they're really trying to go for DeMarcus Cousins when he goes.
Of course. But
especially with that Wall connection.
But my thing is, right, and we talked about it last time. It's the same problem that Portland has. They don't have a 6'7 to 6'10 guy that can go create their own shot.
You don't think Otto Porter can grow into that?
No, because Otto Porter is somebody that's reliant on somebody else to create shots for him. You can't just be like, here you go, Otto Porter, go give me 20. He's not
what about
that kind
of
guy.
Other guy, Oubre?
Oubre, I like Oubre, but he's a plug and play guy. He's not necessarily an all time starter. He's not necessarily an all time bench guy, but he's not a 20-point a game scorer.
I think Otto can get there though.
Otto's with a team
shoot. He's a 3-and-D guy. There's a difference. Yes,
with to me it's like when you have a Wall, when you have a Beal, you don't need a third person to get 20, but you need him to anytime he other game he can probably get 20
because
he needs to get 15 to 18.
Both Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre are Harrison Barnes, and what did the Warriors go and do? They got KD right. That's
a good comp.
But KD is like top.
I'm not saying to go get KD. What I'm saying is get somebody like KD.
There's not that many players.
And I understand that. And that's the reason why the Clippers, right, for Lob City, but, they struggle.
Yeah, but don't look at it the way you're looking at it. Look at it in basically.
You're talking about somebody who can score anytime.
Look at the comp he used, Harrison Barnes. The issues and the limitations that Harrison Barnes has is Otto Porter.
Exactly.
So he's capped.
Can he give you 20 or have a breakout game for 30 or 40?
Make
course.
It look like he can ball.
But can you rely on getting 20 plus?
Nah.
He's not that guy.
Well, I was thinking that he could be serviceable between him and who was the other guy named?
Oubre.
Oubre. Like, they can probably split it up between the two.
But it's still not enough. What I mean is Otto Porter, he can't go break down every guy, and I don't mean – he can't go break down 9 out of 10 guys that he faces and go – you don't have to double-team Otto Porter.
Yeah.
Just like you didn't have to double-team Harrison Barnes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when you start becoming an all-star superstar, when you're getting to that level, at times you got to double-team this guy because he's going to slaughter whoever we put on him. That's what they need. Because as good as John Wall is, you rarely – double team a pure point guard, because the point guard, right, is going to collapse the defense. Mm-hmm. Therefore, he's going to create those mismatches naturally because he can get into the teeth of the defense. Bradley Beal, when he gets hot, you got to double team him. Anybody else on that squad, you don't. That's the problem. They need another person that you have to double team. Dwight Howard, you ain't got to double team him. Mm-mm. They get DeMarcus, you got to double team him. Now, if you get a DeMarcus, Otto Porter works more. But guess what? They just paid Otto Porter. They can't afford
DeMarcus
mm-hmm. and Otto Porter. So you got to make a decision. So obviously they're going to have to trade Otto Porter for nothing. Kelly Oubre is going to be up for a contract as well. So how much do you pay? So you see what I'm saying? That's why it's always a quandary to figure out how these pieces fit, because it's not just basketball talent. Financially, how does everybody?
I don't know.
Because
they're paying Otto Porter.
Who is going
like
to pick up that? Who is going to pick up that Otto Porter contract? I don't know.
Somebody
will
pay him.
Exactly. No. There's
he's valuable.
Exactly. There's teams, playoff teams, that need a guy like that. Like Memphis. Oh my God! Like he fits perfect for what they want to do. Let me see. Let me think of another.
Because it's not like he can't play.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying he can't play, but I'm just saying the price tag for him like is too high. Because he sounded like 130.
Up, no, right? It was like 80-some million, 90-some yeah. million.
Yeah.
He didn't sign a max.
Mm-mm. Yeah. It's
I thought
just
it was 100-something.
Mm-mm.
Let me look it up.
It probably just looked like a lot because that was, what, 2 or 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago when they gave it to him?
It's like
so
80.
So the money keep going up. So, but this is why I love that football's back, because that means you know what is right around the corner. Yep. Basketball.
That fall season.
Yep. Yes, sir. And there's a lot going on, man, and man, I can't wait. So,
have y'all seen? I know I talked about it a little bit, but have y'all seen Ben Simmons?
Mm-mm.
Man, just go on YouTube, go on IG, and just look this man. I'm telling you, game wise, he's not mentally. Physically, he has a better jump shot. Mentally, he's playing like he don't have no jump shot. So it's still scary.
Mm.
It's still super scary. Joel Embiid is looking crazy. Markelle Fultz is looking crazy. I don't know if you've seen.
I got to look at more video of Fultz.
Oh, man.
Hey man, we trying to – Fultz, man.
I know you got. If he does pop, you guys are the first to tell me this. But at the same time, I'm not expecting it.
Here's the thing. Markelle,
you're going to learn a lot hanging around us, man.
I've been right a couple times already. Hey,
I've been more right. But, no, man, Markelle is going to be able to get wherever he – his athletic ability, man, is scary.
Yeah,
scary.
That's crazy.
Scary, super scary. I think Philly's in a real good position. Boston, man, I'm excited. But obviously they got to be healthy because Kyrie's injury prone at this point.
Steven said he's excited too. He should be, but he said he's excited.
Them knees though, them knees was getting to him in college, and now they still.
Yeah.
But you know it comes with. Oh. I want to see Kevin Knox, man. He was on first take.
That's my boy.
Yeah. Talking that noise.
Did you see what he was saying about his 2K rating?
No, mm-mm.
He's super mad because they rated him 74 in 2K.
But yeah, that's really that's good. Right. I thought that every rookie, except for like
rookie,
the top,
of course,
you know.
Yeah. And obviously 2K updates the game.
Yeah.
You know now, so you know he'll definitely go up.
That is so crazy that because that's really a thing now because you know a lot of these players grew up playing Madden and 2K. So when those ratings come out, they be like, "Hey man, where my rating at?"
Yep.
And they look
Ronnie
at the ratings,
2K,
like,
they
hey,
hitting
yo,
them up.
What's going on? Like y'all rating me too low? So I think that's kind of dope, man, that they kind of look at that as like a marker for their skills and ability. I think it adds to the game, too. If you're EA, you want that. You want people to call you out.
Of course.
Or prop you up.
Otto Porter, 4-year, $106 million contract.
$106.
He's making $26 million a year over that.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
who is taking that price?
There's teams that would be willing to take on that. You know what I'm saying? For me, Washington needs more than Otto.
Yeah, they do. I think they're going to constantly be a playoff team. That's just what they are. John Wall is going to be just one of those guys.
You know
what
they are?
What's that?
They are the Hawks of Joe. They're Joe Johnson Hawks.
Yep.
That's what they are.
Yep.
They're stuck in purgatory. They're too good to get a top draft pick, and they're too bad not to get past the second round.
So Le'Veon's going to report Wednesday. But this was funny, man. What, Jello? Is it Jello? Is that the one that got
LaMelo? LaMelo?
No. Yeah, one of them talking about.
LaAngelo.
Thought the Suns was
They were supposed to draft them in the second round.
They were supposed to, or
he was working out with them.
Yeah,
yeah. If anybody was gonna take him, because his agent, there was something I was watching, because you know they got the Ball in the Family TV show, or I guess internet show, or whatever.
Facebook show, reality
TV. His agent came to him and said, "Hey, look, the only shot you really have is not looking good in the draft. But if you are gonna get drafted, it's gonna be in the second round to Phoenix." I think here's the thing. I was talking to my coworkers today. I think if Jello would have played at UCLA his full season, he would have been drafted.
I think so,
because
too.
Because I forgot all about that.
Yep, I think so, too.
Stupid thing that he did. Yep. That literally ruined his.
And his dad's arrogance, thinking that.
Because I think he would have balled out in UCLA.
I do, too.
He would have shown that he can play. Like, he can't go overseas.
And he would have been at least a second round. Yeah, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And they've been dogging him, too. They came out Lithuania, I think, and trashed.
Ripped them.
Man, it was bad, man.
Yeah. Did you see it, Nick? So basically the coach said that, you know, we kind of messed up and we let LeVar think that he had too much power and that he was actually running things around here and this, that, and the third. And we let him come in and just pretty much let – you know, make this into a sideshow. He said, we're a professional basketball organization, and, you know, that was our mistake.
And the thing was, they took the deal because they needed money. Mm-hmm. You know, they were cash strapped, so they needed some money, so that's why they went on with it. And they just bit off way more than they can chew. Mm-hmm. But they got rid of them with the quickness.
I'm very interested in seeing how him, LeBron.
LeVar is done, man. Like, he's tried a couple of times. You know, over the last
All of this, though, for the most part.
He has predicted crap.
His son being going to the Lakers, one. LeBron coming.
Two.
That's a big one, too.
Bro, everybody was predicting LeBron was going to L.A. That started 2-3 years ago?
And come on, now, LeVar was talking about.
But it still was shocking that he did come.
LeVar was talking about that the Lakers were going to make the playoffs year one. That Lonzo was going to be rookie of the year. It was a lot, man. Well, it was a lot
of proclamation. To me, it's like, to predict that, like, your own son is going to the Lakers, and he went to the Lakers, the best basketball player for the last 20 years.
I'll give him
go to the same team to coach your son.
He can get Lonzo. He can't get anything else. He can't get the Lakers. He can't get LeBron going to L.A. There was just way too many other people talking about that. And every other thing he's been wrong about.
I think Melo makes it to the league, though. I think Melo is the
He
got
to go to college or high school. He got to do something.
No, because you know you already play professionally. So
With JBL?
Here's the thing. I'm not saying that he's going to be the number D-League? One and number two pick. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is he's going to make the NBA, and I think that he's going to be better than Lonzo.
That's a lot of big
I don't disagree with you.
He's already as tall as Lonzo, bro. He's 16. He has a better – he shoots better than Lonzo.
No, yeah, he does. I mean, but that's not saying much.
But before Lonzo's lone rookie year, Lonzo was a 40% 3-point shooter in college from three.
I get that, but I'm saying in the NBA, that's not saying much.
See, you one of those. But it is.
I'm just talking about. We talking about professional. We ain't talking about college.
Melo's a better shooter. Melo, I think he has more handles than Lonzo. He's bigger than Lonzo. You see him. He has more weight than Lonzo does on his body.
I think the coach the way he's been coached and the way he's been playing free-for-all basically this whole time, I think that doesn't help him. Like, to me, he's very offensively, minded. I need to shoot. I need to gun. Like,
of course.
The whole offense has to run through me.
Yeah, no,
he needs to learn how to get
he's
that out of
disciplined.
Him. Yeah, he's not disciplined.
I think that's
enough.
His biggest weakness, and I think that there's several factors that played into that. I think number one was his dad. Number two was the fact that Lonzo made it, so he – Jello and Melo thought that, oh, okay.
It's easy.
They bought into what their dad was saying.
So I think that, you know, there's been quite a few reality checks to happen to them. And I think that he definitely needs to become more disciplined. But skillfully and talent-wise, he's an NBA player.
And compared to some of the other talents in the NBA, that, you know, I think he'll get a shot. Yeah, I think he'll get a shot. And that was always, you know, and look, FIFA been talking about these Ball brothers for the longest. He's the one that put me on. And he's always said Lonzo and the youngest. He said the middle one You know, maybe gotcha, maybe shoot. Not.
Yeah, you can't get all three. You can't get the
trade. Yeah, nah. Well, here's the thing. It's hard to make three superstar sons. Like, you know, to be 100%, like, that, hell no. But Lonzo, I always thought he was going to be a great pass first point guard. And he almost, let's be honest, as a rookie, he was very close to a triple-double.
Yeah.
What was it, like 13-7-7?
7-7, something like that. Yeah.
You mean to tell me that playing with LeBron, you can't get two or three more assists throwing it to that guy? You know what I'm saying? And LeBron's talking about he wants to be more of a scorer than facilitator. So that plays right into what you want to do. You mean to tell me that you can't get average 2 to 4 more points per game, which will put you closer to 20, which I think he can do. And then the rebounding. You mean to tell me you add about 5 pounds of girth and you have a year of experience, you can't get 1 or 2 more rebounds per game. So I think I like Lonzo, man. I really do. Jello, he could be a catch and shooter in the NBA, but honestly, I think he really needs to exploit the fact that maybe he needs to go to the NFL and be a tight end. no, for real. Because I think his path to the NBA has been ruined.
Yeah, it's over for
him. Because it was a very fine line of him making and sticking in the NBA, and the fact that you haven't got to the NBA and you weren't even invited to a summer league team, right?
That's a problem.
Go over, and you may not even be able to go overseas. Like you said, you weren't going to play in the JBL league because that's beneath you, and then you play in the JBL league.
Yep.
And then that's turning into a
circus.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, he better be Sean. He better drive Lonzo around.
Before I forget about this, college football, did y'all watch anything this past week?
I missed everything.
You missed everything?
I was out all day looking for freaking headphones. So yeah, I missed everything. I didn't miss much, though. I actually looked at the scores. I don't think I missed much outside of Harbaugh losing again.
Yeah, I was going to – that was the one thing I wanted to talk about was like
– Hey, man.
First game. Is he overrated?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
I won't say he's overrated, but he's not – like this is the season.
How is he not overrated?
Because look at where Michigan was at before he got there.
And
they're the same place.
Yeah.
No, I mean as far as – but they're competitive now. At least that game that they lost to Notre Dame wasn't like a blowout.
All he's been able to do is get bigger recruits because of who his name is.
Yes,
that's the only difference.
But I mean, last year they were a bad call away from beating Ohio State. And it was a lot
of bad calls away from winning games.
Yeah, so he's been competitive. I think I don't know why he. I don't know if he wanted to play a ranked team coming out the gate, but Notre Dame just looked way better prepared for him. And then everybody thought, like, with his quarterback, that he finally got a quarterback, and obviously didn't play out that well. But I think this is still, like, it's too early to call him out. This is the season, though. If he doesn't do anything this season, then, yeah, he's done.
Yeah, I agree.
He's overrated.
All right. Look.
I'm mad I missed that Miami LSU game though.
Oh, you didn't miss much. It was donezo by the first half.
I'm saying, how does Miami look?
They looked horrible.
Dude, so who won? I don't even know who won. I don't know.
LSU won. They smashed them.
They smashed them out the gate. It was like they just scored a touchdown. Them on everything.
When them boys in the South, man, Juju and all the other stuff running down there, man, they probably couldn't keep up with them boys. But I didn't watch the game.
Miami, the U has been a powerhouse, and in the last 5 to 6 years,
it feels like they're coming back. But
I was surprised they were ranked that high this season.
Me too.
Top 10,
were they number 8?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were top 10,
but they had some good moments. Like I could see them ranking them this high based on how they performed last year. They probably just thought that they were going to take it up a notch. Because remember, they just lost 1 or 2 games late last year that put them out. You know. Who's the coach in Miami?
I can't remember.
I don't even remember.
Is it Mark Richt?
Man. Yeah, it is Mark Richt.
Oh, I'm not surprised they lost then. That's exactly what he does. That's what he does, man. But LSU setting up, you know, their fans for
SEC back.
Nah, they just said the LSU does this. They'll go beat some ranked team.
Well, I mean, everybody, I think most in that conference, like at least 3 teams beat ranked teams. The only team that was really like garbage was Tennessee.
Yeah, they've been garbage since T. Martin left.
And that was the guy after Peyton.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, time to play, man. I plan on watching more this year, but I need to find somebody. I need to find a team.
I was happy that my Bearcats, UC, they beat UCLA, Chip Kelly's team. So I was happy with that.
Is he
upset.
Coaching them?
Yeah.
How did Herm Edwards do? He was winning, right? Did he win?
I don't know.
The Arizona.
Yeah. He left ESPN.
Sun Devils, I think.
Oh, wow. I love Herm.
Yeah, Herm's
he's the guy.
Herm's the man.
Herm is that dude.
Yeah. Why isn't he coaching in the NFL?
I think it's past his time.
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to hold him out. Maybe they don't want the black guy back.
You know, I don't know if Herm really wants it like that. Not in the NFL. I think it's too cutthroat. You don't have enough power. I think when you go to college, you control.
That's
everything.
Why Nick Saban is staying in college.
Oh yeah, they won. They won. Impressive opening. Yep. Okay. Well, that. So I will be.
I'm gonna watch them more and more. Yeah.
Yeah, because I like Herm, man. So. But yeah, I need more college storylines, man. You know, because they don't have the Sam Darnolds, the Baker Mayfields.
Well, they're saying Oklahoma might be better this year than last year.
Yeah, but who's the stars? Like, give me a star. Where's my black quarterback? I think FSU lost. Did Florida State lose? Florida State or Clemson? I think Florida State lost. Deontay, whatever. Shout out to Kyle. That's his squad.
As I was saying, this is a defensive year, so you might not be getting those sexy storylines this year.
Oh, what's the quarterback, Kelly Bryant at Clemson, which I'm not too hype on him, but I don't know, man. We'll see. I'll find somebody. I'll never forget, man. When I first saw Winston play, I was like,
oh yeah,
that boy the truth. His first game in college.
Francois is back too.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Francois. Yeah. I don't know about him yet.
I
didn't get a chance to see him play a lot because he tore up his knee
in the first game.
But I don't know. He's more of a Jalen Hurts type of quarterback. He looks like he runs a lot instead of throwing.
You know, Francois got an arm, man. Like, he really has an arm. He got legs, too, but his arm is really nice.
And maybe he knows because he was a freshman. I think he was a true freshman. So, you know.
Right after Winston.
Yeah. So, it probably took him a minute. So,
I like him. I don't know what he projects in the NFL. But
college quarterback.
I like his arm. I like his arm.
Did you see Tua? How did Tua do?
Tua's nice.
Tua's my Alabama.
That's the storyline. If you want to talk about quarterbacks, that whole Alabama.
Is he going to be the first quarterback taken in this upcoming draft?
I don't know.
Is he eligible?
It's too. I don't know. I think it might be too early for him.
But if he does come out, is he a first round quarterback?
I don't know. There's another quarterback. I don't know if Iowa has him or somebody. Some random college team has a quarterback that everybody's saying like that's like a NFL projected quarterback. But he looked nice. But I think with that quarterback situation they got at Alabama, as far as you don't know which one is going to start, somebody's got to leave.
So let's see real quick, and we'll wrap this thing up. Walter Football, top 2019 NFL draft prospects. Josh Herbert of Oregon is the number one guy. Jarrett Stedman from Auburn. Ugh.
These are all quarterbacks?
Yeah, quarterbacks. Drew Locke out of Missouri.
That's what it was. That's what it is. It was Missouri.
What is all that? Shea Patterson, that's the guy. They thought that was going to be the man in Michigan. I'll stop there because everything else is 2 to 3. It's second and third round. Will Greer Shea Patterson in Michigan, Drew Locke in Missouri, and Jarrett Stidman in Auburn, and Justin Herbert in Oregon. And they say, those
first round quarterbacks.
Yep, first and second round quarterback. So I don't know. I don't even like their names. So they already sound whack. They only have a cute quarterback name.
They got the fake Andrew Luck on there, man.
So anyway, man, we're going to get out of here, man. We appreciate you guys listening and rocking with us. We'll catch you guys next week. We out. Peace.
Peace.